ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. നമാമ ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദൈവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തിയം ഹം ശ്രീ ഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരു വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേം നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ീദേവി ഗായാ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യാ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിതാം കരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദിനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണീം നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ യുഗനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയാം വൈഷ്ണവസർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പ്രതിദാനം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ ത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരദൗപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമതേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനൌ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമദ്രാധാശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൌ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിസേവ്യമാനൌ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദാസരസാരംഭീ വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിതാ കൃഷ്ണൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേ സുനാം തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസൃതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. అద్వేష్ట సర్వభూతానాం వర్స్ 13. అద్వేష్ట సర్వభూతానాం మైత్ర కరుణ ఏవచ నిర్మమో నిరహంకార సమదుఃఖ సుఖక్షమి సంతుష్ట సతతం యోగి యదాత్మా దృఢనిశ్చయ మై అర్పిత మనోబుద్ధిర్ యోమల్భక్త సమే ప్రియా. సో వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది symptoms of a devotee, symptoms of a devotee, and we have seen that while Krishna is talking about the devotees, means devotees who have reached that pure state of Krishna consciousness, in other words. So none of them are not the external qualities spoken. Everything is very internal things, very internal things. In other words, just like we mentioned before the sun rises, just like you see that how in the horizon the color changes, the reddish color appears. Similarly, before one realizes the truth, before that these qualities will come in that person in natural way. Important thing to remember is these qualities can never be cultivated. You can't cultivate them. It has to come from the prakriti. That is the right understanding. Because if all these qualities were, these are material nature, provides that to the person who is progressing on the spiritual life. It comes from the nature. Adveshta sarvabhudanam, we talked about this. Na dveshta almano dukkha hedam api na kaschil deshtri sarvani bhudani almantvenahi pashyati. In other words, because he can only have this state if he sees himself same as others. In order to be oneself, in order to see oneself same as others, na dveshta almano dukha hedam api na kaschil dveshti sarvani. Only in that case it is possible if he sees them as the soul. Almatvenahi pashyati. This is the important thing. So, till almatvenahi pashyati, till you see them as the soul, this change won't happen in us. This change won't happen in us. When Krishna's mercy comes to a person, when that mercy comes, kripa, when that comes, and when realization develops inside that I am not the body, I am soul, and I am different from, independent from the mind, intelligence, ego, everything, that goes away. And when self-realization happens, at that time, he is seeing himself as the soul, and then these qualities will be there in him. That is the way it happens. Not by training. You can't train anybody on these things. It's not possible. We always think everything can be trained, isn't it? It's not possible to train these qualities. That's the important point. That bhudani almatvenahi pashyati. When you start seeing them as the soul, then these qualities will be there in him. Otherwise, it will be totally artificial if you train them. It won't stay. Because identifying with the body, these qualities, if you manifest, if it manifests in you, it is artificial. If you are identifying with the body, and if these qualities you exhibit to others, it will be a totally artificial thing. it is very closely linked with our self-realization. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita is nothing but self-realization. But mistakenly, many times we think that we list the qualities and say, from now on, I'm going to practice them. Practicing won't help. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karunaye vacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. And Krishna also mentions that Maitri, Mitra Bhavam, friendship to others, Maitri Mitradaya Vartade Idi Maitraha. So able to stay in that relationship with everybody in Maitra Bhavam, Karunyam, mercy to others, compassion to others, Kripa, Karuna Kripa Dukhideshu Daya Tadvan Karunaha. That when he is feeling others, seeing others suffering in this world, and feeling karunyam, compassion for them, is called karuna. Karuna means that sarva bhuta abhaya prada sanyasi ityartha. And able to give shelter to others, even in their difficulties, such a person is a sanyasi. Samadukha sukhakshami. Maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. Nirmama means mama pratevarjido nirahangaraha nirgadaham prateha. One who thinks that me and mine, he is freedom from, he has that situation with him, is like this, nirmama, he is nirmama. He is never thinking it's anymore mine. That means never thinking about himself, that bhavam, that thinking that I am important, I am someone. That freedom from that is nirahangaraha. Krishna is saying nirahangaraha. Samadhukha sukhakshami. That means in samadhukham, in sukham dukham, by now what happens is, you see, you can see this very clearly, that sukham and dukham is ragam and dvesham, isn't it? Attachment and aversion is happiness and distress. Where does it come from? It comes from the jiva, from the ego, inside false ego. When the jiva bhavam goes, when the false ego moves away, and identity with the soul comes, naturally, this samadukham will come to him. Because for him, there is no dukham, there is no sukham, as far as soul is concerned. That is the way that thing has to happen. Not that I keep all my false ego inside and thinking that I will deal with happiness and distress equally. That won't happen. It cannot work. It may work for 1 or 2 minutes. After that, it will go back to the same, like the dog's tail. You take the pipe out, the dog will go back, tail will go back to its old state. It's the same situation with the living entity. As long as the whole thing is, everything is centered around the false ego. It's from the false ego, all these different things, what Bhagavad Gita is talking about, is coming from. It comes from ragadvesham, comes and ragadvesham develops into sukha-dukham and all that. So, kshami. Kshami means able to tolerate all situations, never feeling upset about anything, willing to live with it, whatever that happens in life. Now, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Sandushta sadadam yogi yat atma drada nischayaha mai arpita mano buddhir yomal bhakta samay priyaha. Here, there is an important word Krishna has used there, mai arpita mano buddhi. You will see there, third line. Krishna uses the same word earlier also. In 1 or 2 places, he keeps repeating this. If you look in chapter 8, you will see there. Also, Krishna is saying, Mayarpita Mano Buddhi. That is in the verse 7, I think. Yeah. In the verse 7, in chapter 8, Krishna is saying exactly the same thing. Mai arpita mano buddhi. Third line. Here also third line. Mai arpita mano buddhi. Have you noticed that? In the verse 7, in chapter 8, Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyaja mai arpita mano buddhi mam aveshyasi asamshaya. Again here, Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nischaya mai arpita mano buddhir yomal bhakta samay priya. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So, here, so why Krishna is saying this again, this mai arpita mano buddhir? most of us take it that mayarpita manubuddhir, that's a very simple thing, isn't it? I just have to arpanam. Arpanam means offer mind and intelligence to Krishna, that's it. So here it is says santushta sadadam. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Santushta sadadam, in other words, all situations satisfied. That is the first thing. All situations satisfied. Dehasthiti karanasya. In other words, for maintaining this material body, labhe alabhe, if you get things or if you don't get it, cha ulpannal alam pratyayaha tatha gunavallabhe viparyayaja santushtaha satatam. In other words, whether you get it or if you don't get it, still whatever we got it, to be satisfied with that. That is that santushta satatam yogi. Then, yad atma dhrida nischayaha, because he is dhrida nischayaha. What is that dhrida nischayam? Dhrida nischayam means he is firmly fixed in one thing, that is about the soul. He is very firmly fixed on the soul. He is not going to change his position thinking somebody else says something else, that he changes his mind. Well, it can be like scientists have said like this or somebody else have said something else. But because of that, changing one's understanding of the spiritual identity, reality, in other words. Very easy to move away from the platform of the soul. So that is why, svabhava yogi samahita chittaha yad alpa samyata svabhava dhrida nischayaha. Dhrida nischaya means very firm about that. Dhridaha sthiro nischayaha adhyavasayo yasya atma tattva vishaye sa dhrida nischayaha. Adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means that adhyavasayam is that if the mind picks up something and never able to leave it, that is adhyavasayam. You will see Krishna says vyavasayatmiya buddhi earlier in the second chapter. It's the same thing. That adhyavasayam means that you have got on to something and never gives it up, gives it away. For example, in the mind, what happens is so many sangalpam, vigalpam comes inside. And we pick up some of them and we hold on to them. Some of them we leave them. We don't take it seriously. So this sangalpa vigalpam that comes into the mind, it should not come and break away your resolution or your resolve. Your resolve, it should not get changed. That is why it says here, Atmadattva Vishaye Sa Dhrida Nischayaha. Atmadattva Vishayam. As far as the Atmadattvam is concerned, very firm on that. No compromise there. Firm, fixed mind in the matters related to the spiritual life, related to soul. Mayarpita Manobuddhi Sangalpa Vigalpalmagam Mana Adhyavasaya Lakshanam Buddhi Te mai eva arpide sthapide yasya sanyasinaha. So, mind has got these two things, isn't it? Sangalpa vigalpam. So, not only that mind, he also has to offer the buddhi also. Nischayatmiya buddhi. This is the definition of the mind and intelligence. Definition of the mind is sangalpa vigalpam mana. What that creates sangalpa vigalpam inside, that has to be given to Krishna. Nishchaya Almiya Buddhi. That buddhi that creates the decision making thing, that has to be given to Krishna. We will discuss that when we come back to 8th chapter better, because there it's a lot more in detail these things are spoken. But for the moment Krishna is saying this, if you remember these two things, that why mind and intelligence should be handed over to Krishna. It's a very important thing in spiritual life. Mayarpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha. Krishna is saying there, Mayarpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha. And earlier Krishna says, Mayarpita manobuddhir mama veshesi asamshaya. In the 8th chapter, Krishna is saying like that. Priyohi jnaninotyartam aham sacha mama priya. Priyohi jnaninotyartam aham sacha mama priya. There is no one who is dearer to me. In the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions that. If you look into the 17th verse in the 7th chapter, you will see, Priyohi jnaninotyartam aham sacha mama priya. There, Krishna says, Priyohi Yaninothyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. Isn't it? That Yani, I am that person, Yani, he says. Krishna says there. In the 17th verse, if you look, you will see there. In the 7th chapter, 17th verse. Tesham Yani Nitya Yuktaha Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade Priyohi Yanino Thyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Krishna says, Tesham Yani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade Priyohi Yanino Thyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. That Nitya Yukta means one who is fixed at Yani, he is the best, he says. He is the best because I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. And he is not different from me also. Priyohi Yaninartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. He is not different from me. So why does Krishna say it like that? Because Krishna says that the if you remember the 7th chapter when we discussed, Krishna says that Jnani, after the verse before that, four kinds of people come to me. Krishna says, isn't it? Chaturvidha bhajande imam, jana sugrdi arjuna, artaha jitnyasu artharti jnani. Four kinds of people Krishna has spoken before. And then he mentions, among them, jnani is the best, he says. Because, priyohi aham sachamam priya, eka bhaktir, that jnani's bhakti, is particularly Krishna appreciates that bhakti of the jnani. Bhakti of the jnani. Because he is nitya yukta. He is fixed properly. So because of that, priyohi, he is close, he is very dear to me, jnani. So it athyartham aham sacha mama priyaha. He is all dear to me, I am also very dear to him. Krishna said like that. Because, and it is those things Krishna is expanding here in this chapter. What was spoken in that 7th chapter, those things, Krishna is expanding this in this 12th chapter. So, we saw last Saturday that while talking about these symptoms, Krishna mentions Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, isn't it? Adveshta Sarvabhudanam. So, there, you may... if one person, Krishna says, if he has any trace of any hate or ill feeling towards any other living entity, then whatever we may do in spiritual life, chanting the holy name or sankirtan or any meditation or any even external things, all of them Krishna will not take into account. Is never taken into account. Kapila Maharshi mentions that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? In the third canto, you can see, Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu Bhudalma Avastita Sada Tamavajnaya Maham Martya Kuride Achavidambanam. He says here that even a little bit hate towards any other living entity, if it is there, you can do anything you like in spiritual life, but it won't have any impact, Krishna says, because bhakti won't develop in that situation. Bhakti won't develop in that situation. We have talked about that at the end of last Saturday class, that Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabha, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So what is that Vasudeva Sarvamiti means? That Vasudeva Krishna is everything. Everything is Krishna, which means the person who is realizing Krishna's presence in all living entities, and including that person who is speaking, is also Vasudeva. Krishna is in within their heart. This understanding has to come first. So, such a person, now this is a very difficult thing to accept it, because what happens is, when we grow up in a particular spiritual environment, in any society or in a community, in an organization, when you take these verses and gives it to them, they may think that they are accepting that verses, but normally not. Normally don't. We'll tell you why. that Krishna is saying here, Advaishta Sarva Bhudana Maitri. If you want friendship, Maitri towards anyone, Dvesham has to go first from inside. Dvesham has to go from inside. Now, many of the sampradayams also, different paramparas, what we have got in this world, so many spiritual traditions exist here. As soon as we identify with one parampara, you will see that you are distancing from other paramparas. Naturally, it will come like that. It is unavoidable. Once you identify with one parampara or one sampradayam, in other words, naturally you feel distance from other parampara. So what will happen? There will be this difficult to take away that or do you feel that mine is the right one, theirs is not the right one. This will come. In that state, it is not possible to have Advaishtam. It is not possible. Because Krishna is saying here, Maitri is an important thing. Maitri means you should be able to see that in everyone the same, the friendship to everybody. But Maitri will be very difficult when there is Dvesham inside. Because if ever we find that another tradition or another parampara is not following the same way as we are doing, this problem will come because you will see that you are distanced from the others. And you will think that yours is bona fide, theirs is not bona fide. Or you may say, you are perfect, theirs is not perfect. Once that comes, then there is a problem. Then this state cannot happen inside. Advaishta Sarva Bhudanam. So, Maitri Bhavam is not possible. So, but because if you see that person itself, you will start thinking, he is different than me. And because that attachment, that kind of identity, it can happen in various ways. Somebody who thinks that, oh, I am a sannyasi, I have nothing, then you start looking others down in a different way. Oh, he's only a householder and nothing to do with him. It is not possible. Identification, how it changes inside. Or if you are a householder, you may think the same way. He's a sannyasi, I am just a householder, what does it matter? You will think that way also. Same thing with Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, all in the same way. Brahmachari will think, oh, he's a householder, I have nothing to do with him. Householder will think, he's a Brahmachari, what does he understand? So, in this division, in this way, it will always cause problems. Not that, and when one becomes, Krishna is saying, when these qualities develop in a person, he is not thinking anymore, I am a Brahmachari, I am a Grahastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi. Or I am this caste or that caste. Or I am this Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian. You have to go beyond all these things to come to this stage. Whereas when we think that, oh, I am this, I am something, I am a Hindu or I am a Muslim or I am a Christian, then I am stuck there. I can't move further from there. Isn't it? That's why these qualities will only happen when self-realization comes. Before that, anything you try to impose on people, it won't work. Because it doesn't realize, he's still thinking in terms of his identity, this institution, or this religion, or this caste, or that caste. And so many different identities can come, and we have stacked up all those inside, in us. We have to take out all that, what we have stacked up, one after the other, before we come back to this state. That is the problem. It's a very difficult problem it is. Because so many things, we have identified ourselves with many, many things inside. I am a Tory or I am a Labour or Lib Dem. Or I support this football club or that football club. Like this, various identities we have developed inside in a very subtle level. And that's always operating. And various ways, I am this caste or that caste or I'm so many things to identify with, isn't it? So what Krishna is saying here, is that all that has to go, what you are not. None of them are we actually, aren't we? None of them is our identity. So all that has to go first before it happens. Now you see the difficulty in spiritual life, how difficult it is, how much garbage we have created inside, we don't know. We are thinking everything is fine inside. Of course, I'm following the four regulations and 16 rounds. 16 rounds is not the answer to all the problems inside. Before realization happens, Krishna is saying here, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, otherwise why use the word Sarvabhudanam, to all the living entities able to react in the same way, Adveshta. Maitri, not only Adveshta, but Maitri also. You will see this in the realized souls, this quality in them. They will deal with the snake, the cat, the lion, the tiger, the deer, the cow, and other living entities all in a, able to relate with them. Why? Because there is no dvesham inside. None of those living entities create any harm for them. That is how it happens. They are not seeing the other living entities anymore in terms of the body. Many, many Mahatmas were like that. They will, the, all the animals will come to them and live with them peacefully. They never felt any difference. Why? They were not frightened. If you remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was passing through Jharkhand forest, all the deers and the tigers were dancing and coming to them. How is that? This is the reason. Because for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are not tiger and deer or lion anymore. They are Atma, soul. That stage has come. That means if you come to this Adveshta state, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, Maitri will come there. Maitri will naturally come to other living beings. Otherwise, it's not possible. Now, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done, if you go to Jharkhand and start dancing with the tigers and all, what will happen? Because I've gone through the course for developing all these qualities. So if I go there with all that, it won't work, would it? They will eat you, that's all. You won't come back, you'll go only one direction. But so that is the difference. That is why, without understanding, simply thinking that everything is training doesn't work. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evaja. It's a very important verse that Maitri has to be there and Dvesham must go. Two things has to happen at the same time. That's what he's saying there. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam. So Maitri Bhavam. So, wherever, if we have a little attachment anywhere, in anything in this world, in that case, because in Vyavaharam, that's what happens, isn't it? Vyavaharam is centered around this attachment somewhere. So, if you have attachment anywhere something, what that is not, you will find a distance from that. Anything you can think yourself. Anywhere, if you have, say for example, you work for a company, you are attached to that company, that means you will distance yourself from the competition. Is it not? You'll find that you are not the same group as... This is how subtle that mind is operating, working. Suppose you are working for one company and you will think that I belong to that company, you are identified already. That means you are distanced from the competition, competitors. You support one country, that means you have to naturally reject the other country. You support one football club, that means you have become the distance from another football club. And that's like that in everything, whatever you take in this world, wherever you are, you identify with one community, you have to distance from the other community. So, Adveshta state is not so easy to think like that. Nationality, religion, language, and so many things. And all this is built up inside, one over the other, inside. And this is what I call myself as my identity. Is it not? Or which passport you are holding? If you have a British passport, you will say, well, I'm British passport holder, I'm not Indian passport holder. Or like that. So many things, different identities, isn't it? So here, identity is a big thing. Identity will not allow you to come to this stage. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitri. Maitri state is a very higher state where there cannot be any identity with anything. Only then Maitri is possible. Proper Maitri. Otherwise, it will be simply artificial. So, Sarva Maitri Bhavam. That Maitri, Maitri means Mitra Bhavam or friendship. Mitra Bhavam, when it means here, is not simply asking, how are you? Fine, saying. That not that kind of Maitri Bhavam. This Maitri Bhavam is recognizing that Krishna is present in that body. Krishna is there inside that person. To recognize that, first he has to realize himself within, that himself is a soul before he recognizes Krishna's presence in another living entity. So that person who had freed himself from all these things, all these differentiations in life, he is a devotee, Krishna is saying. He is the one whom Krishna calls as devotee. Devotee is not a simple thing. Devotee is a very higher state of consciousness, isn't it? That is why, if you look into Bhagavatam, we mentioned that also in the second chapter of the 11th canto, 45th verse. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Very, very, very high definition of a devotee. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Krishna says, isn't it? In other words, first thing is sarvabhudeshu yapashyet. He has to see Krishna in other living entities. In other words, Bhagavad Bhava. Bhagavad Bhava means that he is only seeing Krishna in the person, not the body. You can't see the body and then say Krishna is inside. No, Krishna is there, body may be there or not. Body is not his identity. Krishna is his identity. The soul is his identity. That level, one has to rise to that level before we can talk about bhakti, proper bhakti. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyel Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. And Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. And all these living entities where Krishna is present there, it is that same Krishna is within me also. Only then you can see everything on an equal level. Otherwise it is not possible. So in the third canto, Kapila Maharshi spoke a little strongly about it. Krishna in the 11th canto, Hari Maharshi didn't say, put it very very harsh. But here in the Devahuti Devi, when Krishna and Kapila Maharshi was saying, he says, Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu, in all living entities, Bhudalma Avastita Sadha, I am there in everyone's as the soul, in everyone. Alma Avastita Sadha, all the time. And Tam Avajnaya Mam Martya, and a person who ignores that understanding, Martya Kurude Archa Vidambanam. He's just wasting his time. He's actually insulting me, Krishna is saying. Kurude Archa Vidambanam. He's taking flowers and offering to me, to the deity, but he's not seeing this thing. He said he's just a waste of space as far as Krishna is concerned. Kurude Archa Vidambanam. So that's why you can see Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu and Bhudalma Avastita Sada. Tam avajnaya mam martya kurude archa vidambanam. And then he says, Yo mam sarveshu bhudeshu sandam almanam ishwaram hitva mam bhajade maudyat basmanyeva juhodisa. He says here that instead of recognizing my presence in other living entities, out of foolishness, he is worshipping me in the deity, simply worshipping me in the deity. His offering, Krishna says here, Maudhyat Basmanyeva Juhodisa, is just like offering me with ashes. He says, you're throwing ashes at me, but nothing is happening. Dvishada Paragayema Manino Bhinnadarshinaha Bhudeshu Baddhavairasya Na Manashyandi Mrachati. Krishna says that one who do not recognize Krishna's presence in other living entities, and one who is always proud about himself, and he is seeing difference in everyone, such a person, and who has this inimical feeling towards other living entities, he will never be peaceful in life. He will never be peaceful in life. He says, Shanti will never come to that person. Because that is how he has practiced his spiritual life. So you can see, without properly taking Krishna's instructions, and if we start doing things that all other things and start thinking that spiritual life is all going to go, it will all end up in a wrong way. Dvishada paragayema manino bhinnadarshina. Paragayema manino bhinnadarshina. Finding it difficult to respect other living entities, not seeing that Krishna is present in them. Bhinnadarshina. And also thinking that they are that body and not able to. Bhudeshu baddha vairasya. And also developing all kinds of vairam. Vairam means inimical feeling towards other. He is in my camp, he is not in my camp, like this. Separating people all the time. Thinking that they are with, he is with me, either you are to be with me or to be my enemy. This kind of nature. This is a dangerous thing. And they will never be able to feel any peace inside because they have always got some enemy outside waiting. So that is the important point Krishna is mentioning here. And And again, Krishna keeps repeating, Archa asa varcha etavad ishwaramam sokarma krit yavanna veda sukhrati sarvabhudeshu avasthidam. He says here, sarvabhudeshu avasthidam. Till you know, come to know about my position as present in everyone's heart, and till that time, you can continue doing this, your deity worship, he says. You can continue the deity worship till then. But that deity worship is not a guarantee that you are reached the state of consciousness, what Krishna is talking about here. Deity worship, to start with, one does the deity worship. But sooner, these qualifications Krishna is expecting from the devotee. So, in the second chapter, if you look, you will see there in the Navayogi's conversations, that second chapter of the 11th canto, you will see there that he mentions couple of things there. That 45th verse. Then if you look, what are the other things? Na kama karma bijanam, verse 50. Yasya chedasi sambhava, vasudevaya nilaya savai bhagavadottama. Krishna is saying, in one's mind, where there is desires have gone away from there, and all his karma activities, they are not anymore dependent on the vasana inside. Karma vasana is not there, prompting him to act in a particular way. So, such a person who has completely taken Krishna's shelter, Krishna says, is a first-class devotee. So, na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhava vasudevaiga nilaya savai bhagavadottama. And then, na yasya janma karmabhyam na varnashrama jadibhi sajjadesmin aham bhavo dehe vaisa hare priya. One who thinks that he has got a higher birth, or he has performed austerities, or due to varnashrama dharmam also, if someone feels that I am higher, lower than somebody else, when such things happens, Krishna is saying, Harimarshi says here, that if such a person who has, that is all based on the body, you see. All this false identification is based on the body. Such a person is very difficult to please Krishna. Then he says, na yasya swaha paraha idi vittishu almini vabhida sarvabhuta samashanda savai bhagavadottama. So, first of all, na yasya swaha paraha, that even the wealth or the worldly assets, if he starts thinking mine and yours, and that differentiation also, Krishna says, such a, that is also even creates a bhedabuddhi. Bhedabuddhi means this is all mine, that's all yours. That bhedabuddhi, vitteshu almani va bhida. On the other hand, it is Krishna's, that recognition has to come. Sarvabhuta samashanda savai bhagavadottama. And always being equally disposed to all other living entities and always in shanti state. Sama shandaha savai bhagavadottama. He is a first class devotee, he says there. So this is how, now, what Hari Maharshi spoke there, those qualities, and what Krishna is saying to Arjuna here, if you compare both, you will see they are one and the same. So, Maitraha Karunya Mevacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Ahanda Mamada Tyagaha Jivan Mukta Selechanaha. Ahanda and Mamada has gone. Ahanda means me and Mamada means mine. And they do not have that pride anymore in their body. And they do not think that everything belongs to them either. They do not think anymore like that. If you ask that, is this possible? If it is like that, how do I conduct the vyavaharam in this world, the transactions in this world? Is it not difficult if we start thinking like that? That means if I start thinking nothing is mine, the only thing you can ask in answer to that is, do you want Krishna or do you want vyavaharam? Do you want these transactions in this world or do you want Krishna? So, if you say that I am happy with my vyavaharam in this world, then you say, keep it like that. When you leave this world, vyavaharam will go. There won't be any more vyavaharam after that. But if you want Krishna, then hold on to Krishna. Vyavaharam will come or go. Will come and go. That is not an important thing. Because what is that keeping us all in this world going? that will keep it going somehow. It is wrong to think that it's my organization management, everything is working very well. And one thing will go wrong because attachment is the, we think that because of our attachment, we think that things have to happen in a particular way. But one who is running the show in this world, he will run the show in his own way. We are just like, that is, Krishna has spoken that also, isn't it? That in the third, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahangara Vimodhalma Kartaham Idimanyade. This Kartaham, Kartrutva Buddhi in everybody is very, very strong, isn't it? And when the Kartrutva Buddhi is there, we think that we are doing everything. And till that goes away, Kartrutva Buddhi goes away, it is not possible to develop this. Ahanda Mamada Thyagaha, he says. So there, the thing is, if there is Mamada, attachment anywhere, let there be in Krishna. Whatever Krishna does, let him do that. So wherever Krishna puts me, I'll stay in that situation. And whatever qualified I am, qualified, let Krishna give that to me. It does not mean that devotee does not do any work. But you have to try this, that without this Ahanda and Mamada, me and mine, you have to give it up and see if the things happens in this world or not. Things are happening in this world or not. Sometimes you will notice that things happen better than when you had got involved in it and did things. So only thing is, it may not happen the same way like we imagine within ourselves. So the way we think about it, or we imagine about it, or the way we desire that it should happen, we think that that's the way it should happen. And if you look at it, you can see, is it perfect now? After we have done all the management and organizing everything. One's own life, if you look, you can see this happening all the time. Wherever we got involved and we think we have organized this, we have organized that, so many things. But at the end, you see, it didn't happen. It has not happened in the best way. It happened in another way, something which you never thought about. It happens in that way. So, and then there is whole problem. Some people have spent all their time in sorting out the family life in this world, and at the end of the life, they say it didn't work. So why is it like that? That's because this is the reason behind it. Krishna is saying here that when we work on our own sankalpam, it will not happen the proper way. That's why even while living in this world as a householder, we have to leave that responsibility to Krishna. We should not think that it's everything I have to organize and manage, and then Krishna is going to come and approve everything what I have done. That may not happen. This is that state Krishna is expecting from the spiritually absorbed people. That is surrender. Otherwise, it's not a surrendered state. If you look into the sixth chapter, fourth verse, have a look what Krishna says there. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi yogaruda tadochyade, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, sixth chapter, if you look, see what Krishna is saying there is that sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Yadahi indriyartheshu na karmasu anusajjade. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi yoga rudas tadochyade. Krishna saying, a person is a yogi, is said to have attained yoga, or is a yogi when having renounced all material desires, he neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. When sankalpam leaves, sankalpam, you know what that means, isn't it? Sankalpa means imagining in your mind certain things as must happen in this way. That is called a sankalpa. It's a very interesting subject in the Shastra, this sankalpa. Look at it this way. We have three states, isn't it? Waken state, dream state, deep sleep. In the deep sleep state, you have no mind there. Mind is gone, is it not? There is no mind in the deep sleep state. Because there is no mind there is no sankalpam there. Because there is no sankalpam there,
you have a good time in the deep sleep. You sleep well. Because there is no sankalpam. Is it not? Because you don't have any sankalpam, you are in a happy state. You have not decided something. Sorry, something must happen in this way. So, if you go into a deep sleep state, where the mind has gone, there is no mind there. Remember, according to Upanishads, mind is a powerful energy that comes from the Chit Shakti. It manifests, it does some things, and it goes back. In the deep sleep state, it goes back. So, it doesn't exist with us all the time. It is in the wakened state and in the dream state. Now, if you look into the dream state, what happens then? There, you cannot have any sankalpam. Why? Mind is acting completely independent. Totally independent it is acting, is it not? Suppose you'd say to yourself that I want to dream in a particular way. Does it happen that way? No, it doesn't happen. There, you have no freedom. So, in the dream state, the mind does what it wants. In the deep sleep, he is not there. He or she, whichever way you want to call the mind. He is not there in the deep sleep. In the dream state, he does what he likes. Only in the wakened state, you are trying to play with his mind. That's only time when he is at your disposal to do what he wants to. And that time, he creates havoc. Is it not? The mind plays havoc with everybody. And people are thinking, oh, this to my mind, I made this decision. Everything is in my control. They think like that. So this is how much it is in control. Only in the wakened state, for again, it's a subject we'll talk later when it comes to the 8th chapter, but few things I'll mention here. See, the mind's influence on us. Look at it this way. What does mind do to us first thing? Mind is one important thing, the sankalpa vikalpa. What does sankalpa vikalpa mean? Sankalpa vikalpa means it brings all the time you get absorbed in the past. Or you will think about the future. Past and future. Past and future. Past and future. Right? So, between past and future, you're living your life in this world. You're not living in the present. Most of the time, if you have something, say something happened in life, what do you do then? Why did it happen? Start thinking about it. And then so many other incidents in relationship with that, what happened, you start connecting with that. And keep on analyzing the past life. It goes in that direction. Suddenly, something happens and you are worried about the future. You go into the future thinking about it. What will happen? What should I do about this? What should I do? So, whole spiritual material life is centered around this past and future. Past and future. And this past and future is the thing what is created by the mind. Mind does that, past and future. Suppose anything what you are doing right now, as soon as the mind has got absorbed in that, it has become past. Is it not? It becomes past. Something you are thinking about saying something now, it has become past. Very next moment it has become past. So, practically between past and future, you are absorbed in life all the time. In other words, in spiritual life, there is no past, there is no future. Fully recognizing that this past and future has come to me due to mind. If you are under the influence of past and future, you have to take it that you are under the influence of the mind. You cannot have spiritual life. It's an important thing because most of the time, think about yourself. Most of us, what do? Dreaming what has happened in the past or what I have to do it in the future. This is what I'm thinking all the time, isn't it? What has happened in the past or what I have to do in the future. And 80%, 90% of our time is busy with that, past and the future. What Krishna is saying there is that past and future belongs to mind, not to spiritual life. If you give up this habit of reflecting on the past and the future, then you are living a spiritual life. Otherwise not. Spiritual life is now. Right now. It has, what you are doing is that. Not what, that's why people think that, oh, when I retire, I'll have a lot of time. Then I'll practice spiritual life seriously. A lot of people make plans like that, isn't it? That's all nonsense. You won't do, it doesn't work like that. Where is the guarantee that first of all you'll be there for to practice it? And many people, when they retire, they may leave the body also at that time. So past and future is not a way taken into calculation into spiritual life. Never. And if we do not free ourselves from this problem of past and future, you cannot live today in the present. You cannot live in the present because you'll be busy with past and future. People tell us that you have to look into the past, what happened. You have to think what will happen in the future and do what is right thing here today. That's how everybody tells, isn't it? That's not how it works. Past is gone. That is all memory now. And future is all imagination. That also you don't know what will happen. Today, right now, what you do is what it matters. And you have to live the spiritual life only in that way. Right now, what you do, that's important. That's why Krishna is saying here, when he says, Mayarpita mano buddhi means this. Mayarpita manam is this, that don't live in the past and future, live today. And that is what handing over mind to Krishna means. Yeah? If you are handing over mind to Krishna means that you have stopped this dreaming of the past and dreaming of the future. Right now, absorbed in Krishna. That is what that Mayarpita manam. And same thing with the buddhi also. Same with the buddhi also. Buddhi has come from this mind, isn't it? That's why, because it is like that, in Shastram, there is, you cannot ask the question, why? You cannot ask the question, how? You cannot ask the question, when? And you cannot ask the question, where? When and where is time and space. Yeah? Time and space is when and where. So, when you, if your mind is working, the questions are coming from the mind. And only when you have the mind, these questions will come. Why and how, when and where? All these questions have no relevance in spiritual life. We must be very, very clear on this. Otherwise, mind will come tomorrow and tell you something. Immediately you will get up, start, oh, I have to get this clarified first before I go further in spiritual life. That is not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Shastram will never accept these four things. When and where, why and how. Why and how is all in the material sciences, not in spiritual science. Spiritual life, there is no why and how. Why and how, when and where is all in the material life, in relationship with the body. In spiritual life, because it's only the reality, the truth, these four things have no reverence, no relationship with these things. In spiritual life, there's only one thing, now. Nothing else. Everything now. Only then it's spiritual, otherwise not. So, coming back to this, yeah. Sarva Sangalpa Sanyasi Yoga Aruda Tadochare. When you look into that sixth chapter, you will know, we talked about this at that time. This Sangalpam has to go from the mind. What is Sangalpam? Sangalpam is this, past and future, past and future, past and future. Always thinking about past and future. Try yourself this in your own life for some time and see what happens. Whenever mind goes into past and start getting absorbed in the past, or whenever it is going into the future and start getting absorbed there, immediately pull the mind, tell the mind, look, this is past and future. It has nothing to do with me. It is an activity. Mind has come very strongly influencing me. If you think like that, immediately you can escape from the past, you can escape from the future. And if we don't learn to escape from the past and future, we will always have a problem in spiritual life. Spiritual life, once the identification with the soul comes, where is the mind? Mind has no role to play there. There is nothing. Even if Krishna is saying there, that even after reaching that perfectional state, sometimes some traces of mind may come about. Why? Because of the body. Once the body drops, even that will go away. That is self-realized state. That is the way self-realization is. And whereas, what do? We are planning for many generations to come. And we are thinking about many generations have gone from this world, performing Shraddham for grandfather, grandfather, great-grandfather, 5-6 generations back. Another few generations are going to come in the future. We are making sure that they also perform. All this is based on the Smriti. It is not Upanishad philosophy. Upanishad has gone beyond than that. When you want to identify with the soul, a lot of things you have to free yourself from. And this is all a part of that. You can't still get stuck in all those old things. And they have been created for certain reasons. That to live, if your idea is to live in this world peacefully and to create a peaceful situations. So here, Ahamda Mamadatya, Sarva Bhudeshu, Sarva Sankalpa Sanyasi, Yoga Ruda Tadochade. So for him there is no Sankalpam, Krishna says. And if you have no Sankalpam, that means you handed over your mind to Krishna. Yeah. No, not clear. Not clear? See, mind is taking you to the past, taking you to the future. Between past and future, it is creating a feeling for you. Past time, present time, future time. That's how you study the time. In spiritual life, there is no thing called time. And there is no thing called space either. Time and space is a creation of the mind. We have to know that. Because otherwise, on the one hand, you are allowing this time and space to work so strongly, mind to operate. Time and space is only there for vyavaharam. You have to leave it there. But in your realization, you should not allow time and space to get in. Once that gets in, then it's finished. Then you are just spending your time thinking about past, what happened, what will happen in the future, this anxiety. So Krishna is saying here, twice Krishna has used that word. You have to remember this. Mayarpita manobuddhi. Some people are thinking that mayarpita manobuddhi means, oh, I have to sit there all the time. I should be thinking about Krishna. I should be thinking the form of Krishna. And then I have to live in this world. That is not possible. Always to think about Krishna like that. Because what will happen? As soon as you start doing something else, you will not be able to remember Krishna. Your mind will go into the thing what you are doing. Say, you are fixing the light or is something doing like that. Isn't it? So, that is not what is expected from us. What is expected is this. That mind stops this, what is called pendulum business. One side to another side, to back side, this side, like that. If you do that, what happens to the mind then? Mind, you will see, mind is steady. It lives in the present. In other words, things will happen in its own way. You don't have to get involved with your mind in that. There won't be any absorption of the mind in there. Mind activity is the sankalpa vikalpam. And say, so, when Krishna is saying, mayarpita mano buddhi, this function must stop, this movement of back and forth. And then that mind is surrendered to Krishna. That he is recognizing that he is living in the present, plus he is living in the present and he is recognizing his spiritual identity, in other words. That is spirituality. Spirituality means that, living in the present. What you are now, right now, that realization must come. It's no point in thinking that after 50 years I'll realize the truth, or at the time of death it'll happen. But if it happens now, that is what Krishna is saying, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. That state, if you achieve now in life, Krishna is saying, at least sometime before death, if it happens to somebody, he will escape from here. He won't come back again. That is the point. So, what does it mean now? Suppose you are not having any sankalpam. What does it mean? You will realize that the person who is having that sankalpam is not there anymore. Who makes the sankalpam? The jiva inside, isn't it? The living entity, false ego, it is he who is making the sankalpam, not the soul. The self, the soul inside, Krishna, who is soul present inside, he has no sankalpam. Sankalpam is all coming from the jivam, jiva. Jiva bhavam is that. The sankalpam is coming from the jiva bhavam. So for then he will notice that when comes to that stage, and if one lives in that state all the time, you will notice that he will be like a dry leaf in the wind. He will live in this world. In the wind, that is the examples given. When in the strong wind, how a dry leaf floats around all over. He will be so light in this world. His life in this world will be so light. It will be a lighter existence. Because why? He has not any particular plan for the future. He is not lamenting about the past. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Na shojadi, na kankshadi, he says. Isn't it? Shojadi and kankshadi is the same thing. Past and the future. Past is the shojadi and kankshadi is the future. So freeing oneself from the mind is the first thing. So every time, whenever we experience some problem comes up, immediately you should think like this. It is that mind has started working. And mind is dragging me with that. That is past. I have nothing to do with it. It's gone. And something else, worrying about the future, thinking that something is going to happen in the future and worrying over it, which means immediately you have to reflect on this and think that mind is bringing that issue to me. I have nothing to do with that. It will, whatever has to happen will happen according to Krishna's plan, not based on my plan. So all this plan making will stop when you come out of the mind. You come out of the mind. That is the important point. So, nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukhakshami. So that is why that Vasudeva Sarvamiti won't happen without all this understanding. So, otherwise, you can see here, in 1857, Sepoy Mutiny happened in India. Sepoy Mutiny means that when army started fighting against the British government. So, it was a kind of a, they call it Sepoy Mutiny. That means the soldiers themselves took up arms and started fighting against the British government at that time. So, on that same time, in Rishikesh, one incident happened. That in Rishikesh at that time, there were many sannyasis were there, present at that time. So, during that time, in that chaotic state, you know, it was a kind of a anarchy kind of situation. One Mahalma, one sannyasi, he was stabbed by somebody. Somebody stabbed a sannyasi and he fell down on the street. And a lot of blood came out from him. So that time, from a nearby in Rishikesh, you must have seen that there were so many mutts there, so many institutions. So other people who have seen that from a nearby mutt, they came, took him, and taken him away from there, from the scene. And they have put some medicine on the wound where they have, where he stabbed him, and also looked after him for a while. So, looked after him for a while, till he became conscious. He lost his consciousness, yeah. So, one of the sannyasis who knew him before, he, after nursing him like this for a while, and when he came back to his consciousness, this sannyasi asked him, do you recognize me? Just to make sure that he is conscious. Isn't it? Like the doctors also do that in the hospital after the operation. That they will call you by name. And if you start answering, then they understand that you have started, you got your consciousness back. So the same thing, people generally do that. That they, when they recognized, asked him if he recognized me, he said. So that sannyasi who was stabbed, he says, so you see, I see only one thing, he said. That person who has come and stabbed me, and same Krishna is standing in front of me and nursing me. That was his answer. The same person who has stabbed me. In other words, that Veda Bhavam in him has completely gone. That is sannyasam. That he could not see that person anymore as his enemy or this person as his friend. He says, same Krishna who has stabbed me through that body is now nursing me through this body. That is how he answered that. So you can see that what happens when realization comes to persona mahatmas like that. They could not think anymore. Whereas what we would have done, we would have said, have we got him? Get him. Get the police to get him first. If not, few generations will go through the blood to take the revenge from him, isn't it? It is not easy spiritual life. These qualities won't happen overnight. Sarvabhudeshu yapashed. What he's saying is that person who has Krishna, who has stabbed me through that body, is now nursing me through this body, he says. To that extent, that perfection has happened inside. And one side he is stabbing me, other side he is nursing me, he says. That's how he's seen that. So, in other words, happiness and distress is coming from the same source. So, when distress comes to us, we say to Krishna, why you are doing this to me now? Why is it like this that you are doing this to me? So sometimes they come because we have not understood where all this is coming from, happiness and distress. When happiness comes, no problem, everything is fine. When distress comes, we go to Krishna, why Krishna is doing this to me? So one day it so happened, one devotee who had been coming for a long time, he asked one sannyasi there, that why is this so many problems in my life, everything is happening to me like this. So that Mahatma told him, he could not bear this anymore. He says to him, have you any time gone and asked Krishna when all the good things are happening in your life, why all this is coming to me? Have you asked that question any time? He says, no. Then why you are asking this now? When things are going well in life, you don't ask any question, do you? Nobody asks any question. Still now, no one has asked. When things are going well, everything is fine. That's because I'm doing, managed everything so well. That's why everything is happening very well. But when anything little goes wrong in life, Krishna is responsible for that. Krishna has got something to teach me. He's teaching me a lesson. That's what they say. He's teaching me a lesson. I was not humble. Therefore, he's teaching me a lesson, they say. So this question, then, you can never see, has anyone so far gone to the temple and asked Gokulananda, why you are giving me so much happiness in life? Never, that question never comes. So same way, when distress comes, goes to astrologer, goes to the temple, goes to all these places. So that is the nature of the false ego. False ego wants happiness. False ego don't want distress. False ego doesn't want distress. So Krishna is saying here, when happiness and distress is not bothering you anymore, or able to see it in the same way, then false ego will not be able to stay there. False ego has to leave you at that time. That is the way to see if the false ego has left. That means when happiness and distress comes in life, if one is not disturbed over it, then you can see that person is free from false ego. Not that he is tolerating it, but it is not affecting him. It is affecting actually the false ego. Everything is affecting the false ego. Happiness and distress, everything. So that false ego, that place, that location is the pleasure-seeking center inside. Pleasure-seeking center inside. That center is there. And it needs pleasure and it resists pain. It resists pain and it needs the pleasure. So, so if you don't give that, if you don't give that to them, it will burn itself. And that is what Krishna says, samadukha sukhakshami. Samadukha sukhakshami. So, another symptom what Krishna says there, Santushta satatam yogi yadatma drida nischaya. So, devotee has to be happy, santushti. Santushti means always satisfied. Always satisfied. So, so sometimes people think that a devotee has to be very serious and very grave. Because I'm in spiritual life, I have to be very grave. That's not right. Because this seriousness and everything. So, this question came up to one sannyasi. They asked, oh, you are a sannyasi. Why you are not serious about anything? Always playing with the children and everything. So, he said, I get serious when I get stomachache or headache. Otherwise, I don't get serious. Why should I get serious? I'm always happy with the people who are around me. And I live a life like that, he said. So there is no nirvidhyam. All children are Krishna's children. And therefore, panditya nirvidhya badhyeta tishtade sad. So when there is tatvajnanam or tatvam, understanding of the tatvam, or one has known what is to be known, then balyena tishtasu, they are like children. That is why, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see, Dattatreya Maharshi was like a child. Jadabharata was like a child. Sukadeva Goswami is like a child. They move around in this world. They don't feel that they have some big burden on their shoulders or major responsibility with them. So, they become like children, in other words. They become like children, in other words. So, so that's why one who has got the strength of the realization of the soul, they are like children. They are like children. So you can see this also. Children are the strongest in the world, isn't it? They can get things done what they want. Even Hitler, he will have to bend down in front of the children. He won't be able to say anything to them. Because once they start crying, they can't do anything about them. There is a story about this. Akbar, in his court, there was Birbal. Birbal was famous, wasn't it? He was a court, in his court. So, Akbar was very fond of Birbal. Akbar used to give special favors to Birbal. And there were some people in the court who were envious of Birbal. They were envious of Birbal. They told Birbal that Birbal never comes to the court on time, always late and things like that. So, Akbar one day decided that let me find out what these people are talking about. But Akbar knows about Birbal very well. So he decided to make fun of Birbal one day. When he came, he says to him, "Why are you so late?" he says to him in the morning. So Birbal says to him, "My son, he does not let me go so early from home. That's why I couldn't make it," he said. So Akbar says to Birbal, "Such an intelligent person like Birbal, he cannot even manage his own son," he says to him. Everybody laughed at that time. So Birbal says to him, "It is easy to manage the kingdom and to manage the army and everything, but managing your own children is the most difficult thing," he said. "It is not that simple." Akbar says, "So bring him over here, I'll manage him," he says. So Birbal says to him, "Okay, I'll bring him over here and see if you can manage him," he says. So Birbal brought his son one day and Akbar says to him, "What do you want, my dear son?" he says. In a very affectionate way, Akbar asked this Birbal's son. So Birbal's son says, "I want sugar cane." Sugar cane comes in a long rod-like thing, isn't it? 4 or 5 foot long. Yes. So, "And bring it, I want that sugar cane now," he said. So he brought it. Then he says, "You cut it all into pieces and give it to me. I can't eat in such a long thing," he said. So Akbar brought everything, cut it all into pieces. And the child says to Akbar, "I want the whole thing. You can't have anything." He said, like the childish way, he says. So Birbal started smiling. He understood that he's going to create a problem for Akbar. Birbal started laughing. So Akbar says, "Sir, why are you laughing?" He says, "What will happen? You see what he's saying now. You can't take anything. You have to give him everything," he said. Akbar says, "Okay, that's not a problem." And he cut it all into pieces and gave into to the child. He says, "By now," the child says, "you have not cut it properly. I want it the original way like it was before." The whole thing like that. So this is their strength. This is their children's strength. Why? Because from their helplessness, children are helpless, isn't it? Because their helplessness, that is their strength. Similarly, devotee's helplessness is their strength. Is helpless and dependent on Krishna in that way, that is their strength. Whereas if a devotee develops all kinds of false ego inside and thinking that I will manage it separately, I don't need anything from Krishna. If Krishna wants to help, that's fine. But if not, doesn't matter. If that is not Krishna consciousness, that's not Krishna consciousness. So that recognition that Krishna is everything and Krishna is the person who is doing everything. Similarly, and when we say that we are looking after ourselves, that is a weakness actually. That is a weakness. So when Krishna is there to look after the devotee, that is our strength. That is our strength. If we have to look after everything ourselves, we will become very weak. We will become very weak. On the other hand, the strength is to recognize that Krishna is there to look after us. That is the strength. Sandushta satatam yogi yadalma dridanischayaha. And sandushta satataha, always happy about that. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, a devotee has to be santushta satatam, always in the happy state. Always in the happy state. That is the devotee. Not too serious. He has to be happy also in his life. So, sometimes there are some devotees, they are so serious that you get frightened seeing their seriousness in life, isn't it? So, because Krishna's Swarupam, Krishna's identity is happiness. Krishna is always jolly, isn't it? Krishna is not very serious about anything. That is the important thing. Krishna is also like that. Have you seen any time Krishna very serious? Never. Either he is smiling or he is playful. Is it not? That is the... So, if you look into Taittiriya Upanishad, the nature of the soul is spoken there. Bhrguvalli it is called. Bhrguvalli means Bhrgu Maharshi. They are talking about that. Bhrguvalli in there. And there it mentions that the nature of the soul is not so serious. What it says is that Anando Brahmedi Vajanat. Brahmam by nature, Brahmam is the soul. By nature is Anandam, happiness. So Anandat Eva Khalimani Bhutani Jayande Anandena Jadani Jivandi. When the every living entities by birth itself, by its origin itself, originate, having been born, they are always sustained by the bliss. By that blissful nature is the nature of the soul. It's always blissful. And they are also on their way to that state of bliss. They are born in the state of blissfulness. And they are on their way to blissfulness. Anandena jadani jivandi. Anandham prayantya abhisamvishantihi. Saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. Saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. Varuna speaking to Bhrigu, saying to him that there is no state, this knowledge of the state of blissfulness of the soul is realized by Bhrigu and it was imparted by Varuna. The whole Taittiriya Upanishad is centered around between the discussion between Varuna and Bhrigu. So there they are saying that this anandam or happiness is the state of the soul. So, if somebody is becoming self-realized, this sandushti, that happiness will be there in that person. If he is so serious external, that means that there is some difficulty inside. That's what it means. Sandushta satatam yogi. That's why Krishna is saying all these, listing all these qualities here. Sandushta satatam yogi. Yadalma dradanishchaya. My arpita manobuddhi. Yomal Bhakta Samaya Priya. Krishna says he doesn't want a devotee who is very serious. I don't want to see him, he says. Because that's not the Krishna's nature is not like that. Nor he expects us to be like that. That's not. Sometimes we have this misunderstanding. We have to be very serious in life, isn't it? That's okay. In the workplace, you have to be serious. At home, you have to be serious with children and all that. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, that seriousness must go. You have to be relaxed about that. That's why he's saying here, in the Taittiriya Upanishad also, Anandam is the nature of the soul. Anandam is the nature of the soul. Anandam comes from there and everything enters into Anandam. Bliss at the end. And Anandam is the nature of the Brahman or the soul. And that's how, and also a devotee, is he supposed to sit with Anandam or always in a depressed mood all the time? Sandushtaha Mukha Prasadaha. Santushti is the happiness of a person. That's santushti in all states. So, if the mind hasn't gone too much in the outside world, naturally there will be some happiness inside. When the mind goes out in the world, wandering around everywhere, then it will have a problem. It will have the problem. That happiness is our swarupam. So, unnecessarily, we bring other things from the outside world inside. And that is when we lose that peacefulness inside. If we bring a lot of things from outside into inside, and then what happens? We lose that peaceful state inside. Bahye aniruddhe mana prasannaha, Upanishad says. External world, if you not allowed to get inside, then mana prasadam will happen in a natural way. Mana prasade paramartha darshanam. When peacefulness comes inside, then shanti and realization of the truth will happen. Bahya manapra paramartha darshanam. And when the mind is in the present and happy state, paramatma darshanam. So outside things, if it doesn't go and get stuck in other objects elsewhere, mind will happen in a peaceful state. And happiness, Krishna says there, sandushta sadadam yogi. That santushti, sadadam yogi, mayal sandushta sadadam yogi, yadalma dhridanishchaya. So that santushti is freedom from desires. Freedom from desires. In the Bhagavadam, what it says is, one who is running around all over the world for happiness because of desires, how can he be happy? Bhagavadam is asking that question. And you can never compare the happiness of a person who has no desires, because that you will never get to a person. For a person who has desires and who is running all over the world, he will never that happiness, will never get that happiness. If you look into the 7th canto, 15th chapter, 16th verse, Srimad Bhagavatam says, what does Srinarada Maharshi, while talking to Yudhishthira, he says this. He says that 16. Sandushtasya nirihasya swalma ramasya yat sukham kutastad kamalobhena davado arte haya dishaha. He says here, sandushtasya nirihasya, when talking about sandushta sadadam yogi, how Sridharada Maharshi explains that sandushti. He says here, sandushtasya nirihasya swalma ramasya yat sukham. Satisfied with what he gets in this world, and at the same time, not much of a desires he has cultivated here. And Atma Rama sa yat sugam, he is Atma Rama, he is situated on the platform of the soul. That happiness, he says, kutastad kama lobhena davado arte haya disha. That happiness, what he gets, that person who has who is satisfied with what he got, and particularly not desiring anything in this world, and who is Atma Rama, who is satisfied with the spiritual realization within, that happiness what he gets, how a person who desires a lot and to make money and acquire wealth, he wanders around all over the world. How can he have that happiness of this person? That's what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira. Sandushtasya nirihasya swalma ramasya yal sukham kutastan kamalobhena davado arte haya disha. Haya disha means all directions he is going, here, there, everywhere, to become happy. How will he be happy? Narada Maharshi is asking that question here. So that is the important principle here. So because of desires, I need more. Such a person, where will this happiness will come? Swalpa Rama Sukham, how he will get? Sandushta Sadadam Yogi. So, whatever devotee, Krishna is saying that devotee's nature is Sandushti. Sandushta Sadadam Yogi. Whatever he has got it, he is satisfied with that. And all great devotees were like that. If you look into their life, you will see. Satisfied with whatever they have got. One example famous is that Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi, one day one devotee brought him a sandalwood walking stick and gave it to him. He looked at it and then gave it back to him. So he said that, the devotee said, oh, I specially got this from such and such a place to give it to you and I brought this for you and all that. Hiranya Maharshi said, that was a mistake you have done. He said, I don't need this. I got my old bamboo stick, which I am using. I'm sorry. If I keep that with me, somebody will come and they'll see this. And they may desire it. I don't want to create even that desire in somebody's heart. That is how careful they are. Is it not? So that is devotee. Sandushta Sadadam Yogi. Not to show to everybody else that I've got this. And creating desires in other heart, that is not realized. People will never do such a thing. They will always be careful not to disturb the other's mind. Because you are creating problem for others by doing that. So he gave this sandalwood stick back to him and told him, you take it back. Very nice, he said. But you can keep it. I don't need it, he said. So that is how they were in their life. This you will see in many, many instances. We will say, well, Krishna needs all that. Give it to me. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nishchaya may arpidamano buddhir yomal bhakta same priyaham. Krishna says there that anything what a devotee who see this, that anything what is required, he knows what is required for maintenance of this body. He does not want to accept anything. So, this is Santushti Sadadam. That's Santushti inside. Santushti is inside, not by getting something from outside. Santushti comes. Santushti has to come from inside. From inside. From the world, what do we need? We need some food. We need some clothing. We need a place to sleep. More than that, we don't need much from this world. So, therefore, it is always our desires is that makes us to go further, further and further, isn't it? To acquire more wealth, to acquire so many other things in this world. Once it so happened, Lord Shiva appeared in front of a sannyasi. And he asked a sannyasi that whatever you want, you ask now, a boon, says. Sannyasi says to him, Sannyasi says to him, I don't have any desires. I don't have any desire. I don't need anything. He says to Shiva at that time. Shiva says to him, just to find out what that person's nature, he says to him that I have come here because I wanted to give you some benedictions, he said. Four benedictions I want to give it to you. He said, that is my desire inside. So you have to ask something, he says. So this man says that you people have got a problem, that you have got this an addiction in you, that whenever you use somebody, you have to give some benediction to them. It's an addiction-like thing. I don't have any desire, so why do you want to force it upon me? He says to Shiva, this sannyasi. So suppose Shiva appears in front of us and asks, do you want anything? Would we say that? That once the consciousness has come to that state, sarvam sangalpam tyagam, what Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Even devadas, demigods also cannot do anything with you at that time because your freedom from that sangalpam has come like that. That is the power of this sangalpam. Freedom from sangalpam means even devadas cannot do anything to you after that. So powerful is that force inside. Ultimately, so then he says to him that if you insist like that, I'll ask you some things, he said. So first thing he says to him that body sometimes get hungry. I need food. You have to give it to me that, he said. And also, after having food, I need a place to sleep, to lie down. I need a place for that. And then I need some clothing to cover this. Even if it is a kaubinam, brahmachari underwear, that's enough. I don't need anything more than that. And after, then he says, fourth thing is, I have nothing to ask. He says, this is my needs in this world. This is my needs in this world, he says to him. So, but if you ask, the problem is, he says to Shiva, I have asked you for some food. But then what will happen is, first I will say to you, you will give me some food to eat. But then say the food is not tasty enough. I need something else to add on to that to make it a little bit more nice. Then I will say, next thing, I want a feast. So it will go like this. He says, the devotee says to him. So in other words, therefore I am saying that if I ask anything, that you have to tell me that you won't give me anything. That is my fourth request, he said. If you give me these three, that I need something to eat when I am hungry, I need a place to sleep, and I need a very bare minimum what I need to maintain this body. If you give me that much is sufficient. Well, fourth one is, but once you have given me all these three, what will happen? I know, he said. If you have given me cow bean, the next day I'll say I want a dhoti. And if you give me a place to sleep, then I'll say I want a mattress and a bed to sleep. And similarly, eating is concerned, sleeping is concerned, clothing is concerned, everything I will want somewhat better after that, what you have given me. So therefore, I am asking the fourth benediction that I will not ask any. If I ask anything, you have to give me the benediction that I won't give it to you. Then I will accept the other three, he said. That is how careful the yogis are. The yoga state, what Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, is like that. We are saying because bhakti, we say all these are not relevant to us. How can you reject all these things? That's not possible. Because yoga state is that. Whether it is jnanam, karmam, bhakti, whatever it is, yoga state means that sangalpam has gone from inside. All sangalpam has gone from inside. That is what it means. So you can see that person didn't want anything from the sannyasi, didn't want anything from Shiva. On the other hand, he wanted to tell Shiva that if any desire builds up inside, and if I ask something, you should have that firmness in your mind to tell me, no, I'm not going to give it to you. That is the benediction I want from you, he says. That is the devotee. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nischayaha mayarpida mano buddhi yomal bhakta same priyaha. So mayarpida mano buddhi, that buddhi has to become like this, in this way. This is a different kind of buddhi, isn't it? Our buddhi, how does it work? Our buddhi works, how much can I get from him? We are not going to get Shiva again. This is the only time I got him. So ask for the best what I can get out of him. This will be our buddhi goes. But sannyasi's buddhi is supposed to be that my arpita mano buddhi. That buddhi, when it is given to Krishna, it will work in this way. It will work in this way. So that happiness is inside, not outside from the objects. So in the olden days that... sometimes people, when they have something acquired sometimes due to prarabdham, sometimes things may come more than what is necessary. In such instances, they used to invite others and they will hand over what they have got excess and pay obeisances to those who had come and accepted it. This was the system in them days, when Vedic culture did exist in this world. That when they had excess things, they will invite some others who didn't have it, give it to them and pay obeisances to them. Why? For accepting it. So glorious was their outlook in way of thinking in life in that way. So so anything in excess is also a headache, isn't it? Anything, if you develop that necessities or desires in that way, it will have an extension later. An extension will happen. Even though it may not be possible to be like sannyasi sometimes, at least there has to have a place to live, isn't it? And there will be a compound wall around that. So... if you increase that needs more than what is required, then it is bondage. And to know this, to do this, you don't need a lot of knowledge and a high degree of renunciation or anything, because devotee is satisfied with what he has got, that is Krishna. He doesn't want Sandushta Satatam Yogi. All these one has to look at it in this way. Sandushta Satatam Yogi Yadalma Dhradanishchaya. So Satatam Yogi, in other words, always he is fixed up in this understanding. This is the yoga state. When we read these 8 verses, 12 to 13 to 20, that is a yoga state in the bhakti process. When a devotee who is a devotee, his state of yoga is in this way, the way it is explained in this. Yadalma Sandushta Satatam Yogi Yadalma Drata Nishchaya. And not only that, Indriya Nigraham, that means complete control on the senses, control of the mind, peacefulness, Samayada Subhavam. So such a person is Bhagavadhyana Nishtam. Bhagavadhyana Nishtam. Drata Nishchaya. Where is the devotee's Drata Nishchaya means firmness in his decision. Firmness in his decision. So where is the firmness in the decision? What is his firmness? Firmness is that in spiritual life he is fixed. Atma Vishayam, Atma Tattvam. Atma Tattvam means as far as the soul, identity with the soul is concerned, he is fixed. He will not change his position on that. That I am Atma. On that platform he is firm. Atma Tattva Vishaye Yasya Dridam Drida Nishchayaha. One who is fixed on the Tattvam of the soul, on the identity of the soul, or realization of the truth as the soul, he is fixed there. Drida Nishchayaha. Atma Tattva Vishaye Drida Nishchayaha. And in other words, what does that mean? It means that he does not say any more than in terms of the body. He doesn't think in terms of the body or the mind or the intelligence or the ego. Instead, he is always sure that he is the soul. He is always sure he is the soul. So when that happens, even for a short period of time, if it doesn't leave us, even for a short period of time, and that is what Krishna says, Drida Nishchayaha. He doesn't have to think even, but in a natural way, it has come to him. That state. So that is, that state is awareness. That state is awareness. So, because that is called Nishta. Yanis Nishta, that's called. That is not coming from the mind. That also important thing. Yeah. When a person thinks that this, not this body or not this mind or intelligence or ego, but rather always fixed on the platform of the soul, it is not through the mind, it happens to that person. That he has come to that and he doesn't need the mind anymore to convince him all the time, I'm not this body. That is his freedom. That the freedom what he is enjoying at that stage is that his identification with the body has left him. He is able to be free from that, from the influence of the body, mind, intelligence or ego. So so now here there is an important thing. Yogi who practices Ashtanga Yoga and a jnani who practices spiritual realization through the process of knowledge, they are both different. They are both different. Difference is, yogi, yogam is like this. When you know that Ashtanga Yoga process, yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi, 8 steps in the Ashtanga Yoga process. When you are practicing this Ashtanga Yogam, when you are in the dhyanam state, meditation state, yogam comes to you. That means your identification with the body, you are able to leave in that samadhi state. Dhyanam and samadhi turns into samadhi. And in the jnani's case, it is different. Not by meditation that it happens to him. What happens to the jnani is that that nishchalada inside. Nishchalada means a jnani wipes out the mind from inside by knowledge. He gets the mind away due to knowledge inside. Yogi focuses the mind in one point on the soul and frees himself from the problems of the mind. In two different ways it happens, in the case of yogi and the jnani. So nishchalada, or that firmness in the jnani, what you will experience at that time, that is not coming from the intelligence. Intelligence makes that firmness, isn't it? Dhrida nishchaya, Krishna says there, isn't it? Sandushta sadatam yogi yad alma dhrida nishchaya. You have to understand in what background all those words are used. That somebody tells you, Prabhu, you have to be very firm on it. You have to be very fixed. We tell us, isn't it? People tell you all this all the time. You have to be very fixed in Krishna consciousness. That fixed in Krishna consciousness, if it is based on the mind, it won't stay. It will go. It cannot stay if it is based on the mind. You'll be battling the mind whole life. That's what will happen. You'll be battling the mind whole life. Whereas in the knowledge process, what happens? What you do there is that because you have given away sankalpa vikalpam, all that, mind has come practically dead. Mind has no more function anymore. Mind cannot function and play monkey with you anymore. It cannot do it because you have not feeding the mind anymore anything. If you give more sankalpa vikalpam to the mind, what happens? Mind will grow bigger and bigger. That's practical experience, isn't it? If you feed to the mind more, mind will get strengthened and it will grow bigger and bigger. Whereas what the jnani does is, he does not feed to the mind anymore. By telling the mind, look, I'm not going to go into the past and lamenting about it, nor I'm going to think about the future and hanker about it. A direct instruction to the mind. If you do that, what will happen? The mind will stay firm in one place. It cannot play games with you anymore. Only when you allow this to happen, this controlling of the mind is an important thing in any yoga system, whether it's jnanam, yogam, bhakti. If you have to also remember here, Krishna has spoken about two processes in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. That is the two processes in the Bhagavad Gita, jnana yogam and karma yogam. So, jnana yogam process is like that, which may eventually develop into bhakti, which will develop into bhakti later. So, jnana yogena sankhyanam means that jnanam, knowledge when it goes in, that mind cannot play with you anymore, create any problems for you. That is why it mentions there that Krishna says that when the knowledge is not causing any more problems to you, nor the mind is causing any problems to you, that state what Krishna says. Dhrida nishchayaha, he says, that if he is firmly fixed in that state, then he doesn't have to think anymore. It happens in a natural way. So, this nishchaya, dhrida nishchayam, that word, firm determination, it is not coming from the intelligence. This is the important thing. In other words, activities of the mind and intelligence has to totally stop. Only then, sandushta sadatam yogi yat alma dhrida nishchayaha, if you have done that, you have done the third thing, mayarpita manobuddhi. Otherwise, you can't do mayarpita manobuddhi. Only if the mind has stopped its sankalpa vikalpam, intelligence is not anymore telling you to change the decision. Decision has come from the soul, not from the intelligence. Dhrida nishchaya. Therefore, intelligence cannot anymore dictate to you. Intelligence, that's what it does, isn't it? It makes your decision firm. You make the determination inside to firm up something and to finalize and decide something. That is intelligence, what it does. So, that nishchayam, that is what that word. Sandushta satatam yogi yadalma dhrida nishchayam. Nishchayam, normally, nishchayam means making that decision, isn't it? That is actually is linked to the intelligence. But here, what Krishna is saying here is, one who has fixed yathatma drada nischayaha, he has actually surrendered his intelligence to me. That's the way it works. Mind you have to surrender, intelligence you have to surrender. If you have surrendered both, such a person, Krishna says, Mayarpita Manobuddhir, Yomal, such a devotee, Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha, he is very dear to me, Krishna says. One who has handed over his mind and intelligence. Just see that verse, how complex it is, isn't it? First of all, Sandushta Satatam Yogi. Yogi is always in Sandushti. Sandushta Yat Alma Drida Nishchayaha. He has to be completely fixed. And that fixing that has to happen from the Nishchalada inside. Nishchayam. Drida Nishchayaha. That Nishchayam is not coming from the intelligence, nor it's coming from the mind. Anything that's coming from the mind and intelligence will not stay. Mind is constantly changing, so decision also will change. Intelligence is changing, decision will change. Only if it comes from the soul, it will remain permanent. Otherwise, it will not. Only if it comes from the soul, it will remain permanent. That is why it's said like that. Krishna is saying, so through jnanam, through knowledge, one should understand these things. And through, when he reaches the state of bhakti, you will see that what Krishna has spoken is all true. It is only to verify within oneself. If these things are happening, you will observe himself that. Because by then, mind and intelligence is not interfering anymore in his life. By that stage. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nischayaha mai arpita mano buddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha. So, there you can see Mayarpita Manobuddhi, both has been handed over to Krishna. Both has been handed over to Krishna. There, in reference to that Mayarpita Manobuddhi, look at this way. Mayarpita Manobuddhi, Sangalpa Vigalpalmagam Mana. Mind is Sangalpa Vigalpam, isn't it? Mana adhyavasaya lakshana buddhi te mai eva arpide sthapide yasya sanyasinaha sa mai ayarpita buddhi. In other words, mind which creates sankalpa vikalpam and buddhi which is nishayalmiya, which makes decisions, both of them cannot exist in that person anymore. In a devotee. That is a devotee, Krishna says. Whereas we think, somebody is running around all around the world making big decisions. He's a fine, advanced devotee, we say. In Krishna's case, surrender, bhakti is nothing but surrender. And that is the most difficult thing. We have misunderstood so many things from Bhagavad Gita. We have thought that somebody who is doing, we can't control ourselves, therefore we are running all over the world. Because we can't control ourselves. That's our problem. And then we are saying that I've done this, I've done that, and I've done so many things. But Krishna is saying, when you learn how to sit in one place and able to control yourself and hand over your mind and intelligence to me, then you are advanced. Otherwise not. That's how Krishna sees that. Now you see the problem. Our own qualifications of a devotee and Krishna's qualifications of a devotee, you have to make two different lists. Our list will be full of dynamic devotees. Very fiery and very aggressive and very traveling all over and doing this and doing that and so many other things. Krishna's list, totally different. Krishna says, one who has succeeded in controlling his mind and intelligence to me, he says, he is a devotee. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drida nischayaha mai arpita mano buddhi yomal bhakta same priyaha. Krishna says, he is very dear to me, such a person. That is why you don't see many devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness seriously in their life. You won't notice them. They execute their spiritual life in their way. They do it because they have taken the message seriously. Rather than name and fame and other things in this world, they can do that in that state. They know where. This will only happen when inside opens up. When we are very external, too much absorbed in the world, all these finer things of spiritual life will not happen. will not happen inside. When we understand that, this is what Krishna is saying here, and these qualities must develop inside, one has to say to Antaryami all the time to pull me out from the world outside and take me to this inner world of spiritual realization. These are realizations. These realizations will be there in a person when he comes to the identification with the soul. When self is realized, these qualifications also will be there in that person. That is why Krishna is mentioning all these things in this chapter. That my arpita manobuddhi sangalpa vigalpatmakam mana adhyavasaya lakshanaha buddhi te mai eva arpite. So adhyavasaya means that, you know, adhyavasaya means that you have thought about something and you kept on thinking about it, and you on and on and on you thought about it, and you have made that decision, that's it, what I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, isn't it? That's called adhyavasayam. So adhyavasayam adhyavasayam is later on, it stays inside in that decision form, it stays inside adhyavasayam. So Krishna is saying that adhyavasaya lakshana buddhi, buddhi is lakshana, buddhi does that. Buddhi is the one which firms up everything, isn't it? So adhyavasaya lakshana buddhi te mai eva arpide, that buddhi cannot have any more independence to do. He has to offer that to me, Krishna says. So when the mind and intelligence, so mai arpida manobuddhi ya idrisho mad bhakta same priyaha, such a devotee is very very dear to me. So that is that verse there. So saying this, if you look there, that intelligence, what is fixed in Krishna. If a devotee or a jnani, doesn't matter, it's one and the same thing. So Vritrasura says this, if you remember Vritrasura's verses in the Bhagavadam, what does he say? Ajata paksham iva mataram khaga stanyam yathaval satara akshutartham. If you look into the sixth canto, you will see there, Ajatapaksham iva mataram. This is a devotee state, consciousness. He's saying there, Ajatapaksham iva mataram khaka. It is in the 6th cap, 11th chapter. Ajatapaksham iva mataram khaka stanyam yatha valsatara akshutartham priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna mano aravinda chadadarkshade tvam. Verse number 26, at the very end of that chapter, two verses he mentions there, in the 11th chapter of the 6th canto. Ajata paksham iva madaram khaga stanyam yatha valsadara kshudhartha priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna mano aravindaksha dudrakshade tvam. He says, Aravindaksha, addressing Krishna, that the babies, the birds, the little ones, who haven't got even their wings, have not grown yet. So they are completely dependent on their mother, isn't it, for to be fed. And similarly, stanyam yada valsadara kshudhartha, the calf which is dependent on the cow for the milk. Similarly, a wife who is feeling the separation from the husband who has traveled long distances. Aravindaksha dadrakshade tvam. Vritrasura says to Krishna, similarly, my mind, which is completely filled with all kinds of desires, wants to get released from that by coming back to Krishna. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhramada songarmabhi tunmaya alma alma cha daragehe asakta chittasya nanatha bhuyal. Because of samsara chakre bhramada songarmabhi, because I have developed so much karma and karma vasana inside, I am rotating in this world of karma. In other words, changing the body continuously. One body, then death, then another body, again death. Like this, keep on changing the body. This has become my nature, he says. Mamota samsara chakre brahmada so karma bhi. So, and a person like me who has got because of my karma vasana inside, but let this at least develop in such a way, even though it's happening, let there be association with devotees. Association with devotees. And tunmaya almalmaja darage asakta chasasya nanatha bhuyal. And because of my attachment in the because of the influence of Maya, my attachment with the body, children, wife, home, and all these things in which I am very excessively attached, and let that attachment go away. Excessively attachment, what I have developed, let that go away, says Vritrasura there. So here you can see that mind, buddhi, Vritrasura also says, they also have to be given to Krishna. And he has already decided that. That's what he's saying there. I've already decided, let this mind and be yours, Krishna. He says, listen here. Aham hare tava padaiga moolam dasanu daso bhavidasmi bhuya. So, mayarpidamano buddhi yomal bhakta same priya. Such a person, devotee, is very dear to me. Such a devotion is, Krishna calls a devotee like this. This is what Krishna is looking in a devotee. All these things. What are they? Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja nurmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yad alma drida nishchaya mai arpida manobuddhi yomal bhakta same priyaha. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So, you can see that Vritrasura, when he said this, that ajatabhaksham iva madaram gaga sanyam yada valsadara chudhartha, when it is spoken in a story form, all these examples of the bird, examples of the cow, everything is brought in, so that to make it easier to relate with it while surrendering. What it is asking us is that we have to surrender the mind and the intelligence to Krishna, in other words. And that thing is spoken in the story form through this ajatavaksham, this words, ajatavaksham eva madaram, birds and the cow, everything. In essence, what it means is we have to hand over the mind and the intelligence to Krishna. And that handing over process, we have to know how to do it and how to practice it. Otherwise, it won't happen. If you don't practice, how will it happen? If I say to Krishna, Krishna, I handed over my mind and intelligence to you, will it work? It won't work, would it? Very next moment, I'll take it back, what I've handed over. So that will not happen. In order that to happen, there is a fixed process. That's what we were discussing all this time. How the mind influences and what is the role of the mind in our life. If you look into the three states of existence, you can see in deep sleep state, he has nothing to do with you. In the dream state, he will not even listen to you. He will do what he wants. Can you control your dreams? Nobody can control the dreams, isn't it? All you can do is, when you get up in the morning, you can think, oh, so many bad dreams or so many good dreams. One dream you are a king, and another day you are a pauper in the street. Both will dream will bring to you. So he did what he wants and he has gone. The mind is gone that way. So neither in the dream state nor in the deep sleep he allows you to do anything. Whereas he will give you all the hell in the wakened state. That's what he does. So, and would you trust a mind like that, which is giving so much problem? Even Lord Shiva says, I will not trust his mind, he says. In one instance, when Lord Shiva, after that Mohini pastime with Mohini Murthy, Shiva says, I have trusted my mind. That's why it happened. So mind is such a thing. It is a powerful thing. And till we learn how to bring surrender to mind to Krishna, devotee knowledge, through the knowledge he realizes how the mind functions in life, hands over the mind to Krishna. Then as far as intelligence is concerned, he sees how the intelligence operates, not allowing the intelligence to make decisions on that. Whatever decision intelligence is making, he will not accept that, and says to Krishna that if whatever decisions that has come from the soul, not from my intelligence. That's how he surrenders the intelligence to Krishna. After saying this, such a devotee is very dear to me. And that is what is in the next verse you will see there. Verse 15. Verse 15. Yasmano dvijade lokom. Lokano dvijade chayam. ഹർഷമർഷമയോദ്വേഗൈർ മുക്തോയാ സചമേ പ്രിയാഹ യസ്മാനോദ്വിജതേ ലോകോ ലോകാനോദ്വിജതേ ചയാഹ ഹർഷമർഷമയോദ്വേഗൈർ മുക്തോയാ സചമേ പ്രിയാഹ യസ്മാൻ നോ ദ്വിജതേ ലോകോ ലോകാൻ നോ ദ്വിജതേ ചയ ഹർഷ അമർഷം ഭയം ഉദ്വേഗേർ മുക്തോയ സചമേ പ്രിയാഹ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ, ഹീ ഫോർ ഹും നോ വൺ ഈസ് പുട്ട് ഇൻ ടു ഡിഫിക്കൽറ്റി ആൻഡ് ഹൂ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഡിസ്റ്റർബ്ഡ് ബൈ ആങ്സൈറ്റി, ഹൂ ഈസ് സ്റ്റഡി ഇൻ ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ് ഈസ് വെരി ഡിയർ ടു മീ, ഈസ് വെരി ഡിയർ ടു മീ. സോ യസ്മാനോ ദ്വിജതേ ലോകോ ലോകാനോ ദ്വിജതേ ചയ ഹർഷ അമർഷ ഭയ ഉദ്വേഗേർ മുക്തോയ സചമേ പ്രിയ. സോ വിൽ ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ഫ്യൂ മിനിറ്റ്സ്. അദ്വേഷ്ട സർവഭൂതാനം മൈത്രാകരുണയേവ ച നിർമ്മമോ നിരഹങ്കാര സമദുഃഖാ സുഖക്ഷമേ സന്തുഷ്ട സതതം യോഗി യദാത്മാ ദൃഢനിശ്ചയ മയ്യർപ്പിത മനോബുദ്ധിർ യോമൽ ഭക്തസമേ പ്രിയാഹ. ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് വി ഹാവ് സീൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ഫാർ കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് ആർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ദിസ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് എക്സ്പെക്റ്റഡ് ഫ്രം എ ഡിവോട്ടി. അദ്വേഷ്ട സർവഭൂതാനാം മൈത്രി കാരുണ്യ ഏവച നിർമ്മമം നിരഹങ്കാരം സമദുഃഖം സുഖക്ഷമി ആൻഡ് സന്തുഷ്ട സതതം യോഗി യദാത്മാ ദൃഢനിശ്ചയ മൈ അർപ്പിത മനോബുദ്ധി യോമൽ ഭക്തസമയ പ്രിയ. സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഇസ് മെയിൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? യു കെൻ സീ ദർ ദാറ്റ് ദി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ജസ്റ്റ് നോട്ട് അഗെയിൻ ഐ റിപ്പീറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് സംതിങ് ദാറ്റ് യു ക്യാൻ ട്രെയിൻ അപ്പ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ്. ദീസ് ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ആർ ഇൻ ദി നേച്ചർ. When self-realization happens, all of them, these qualities will be there in that person. That person will have these qualities in him. Because that is what self-realization means. To know how, when one is self-realized or not, it is not possible. You can't ask him, are you self-realized? And he will answer you yes or no. No, it's not like that. When these qualities are, these trans nature is present in a person, you can say that he is in that category, he is in the process of realizing the truth, he is close to the truth. A person who is close to self-realization will have these qualities in him. Yasmano, now Krishna continues 15th verse. Yasmano dvijade logo logano dvijade chaya harsha amarsha bhaya udvageir muktoya sachame priya. You see, in various scriptures in the world, they'll tell you how to live in this world, isn't it? You should do like this, various kinds of instructions that you should follow in this world to have some peace in this world, so that the society lives without causing too much trouble to each other. Don't kill each other or don't fight with each other. Tell, you should always speak the truth and things like that. Those qualities are spoken there with the idea that people will try to follow them, even if they cannot do it, but they'll try to follow them. But Bhagavad Gita is saying in a different way. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that if you realize the truth, you don't have to endeavor for these qualities. It will come to you naturally. That's the difference. And if you don't realize the truth, no matter how hard you try to cultivate these qualities, it will never happen. This is what the difference in Bhagavad Gita. All other scriptures will tell us that to develop certain qualities, good qualities, they consider as good. All the prophets and the big, great personalities have come and they have told us that you should live in this way. And different instructions they have left and gone away. And they expect the society to follow them. But what Krishna is saying there is, if you realize the truth, self-realization happens to you, these qualities will be there in you. You don't have to separately endeavor for them. That is the difference. So there again, the importance is for realizing the self, not for anything else. Because there is no knowledge of the individual, knowledge of the identity what we are, we have a problem. That is where the problem began. Because we are identified falsely with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, therefore all the problems. That is what Krishna is saying there. So he mentions now that in these two verses, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam and Sandushta Satatam Yogi, those two verses, Krishna is saying the nature of a person who is realizing the truth, these qualities will be there in him. That is how Krishna puts it to us. Not that you should go and train up yourself in these qualities, because we start thinking, if we have all these qualities, world will respect me because I'm transcendental now, very spiritual then. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately. People have all this understanding. And or if I can memorize all the words and tell others, look, he knows all the things. You see, he knows all the qualities. What is written in the Bhagavad Gita? But that is useless. If the qualities are not there in the person, but carrying in the head is useless. Is it not? So that is where the problem is. When it has to shift it from here to here. That's where all the problem comes. When you have to shift the qualities from here to here. Everybody can answer from here. That's not a problem. There's so many people who knows all these questions, the verses and in their head. But when it comes to practical realization, not possible. People think that it is enough if we know them in the brain. That's where the difficulty is. So, yes, Krishna says here, Yasmanu dvijade logo. Lokanno dvijade chaya, harsha amarsha bhayam udvager bhaktoya sachame priya, he says. So, from udvegam, udvegam means what? Udvegam means anxiety. If you do not have any anxiety, somebody don't create any anxiety in your life, that is udvegam. Udvegam comes from the word vegam. Vegam means any emotions. Suppose while dealing with some person, if he's not creating any kind of emotions in you, he is good. That association is good. You can see some people when you associate, they'll create so much fear in you. What is he going to do next? You create feeling like that, isn't it? So every emotions is a vegam. Udvegam means that does not create any anxiety or any impact in the mind in you. Able to relate with people, able to interface with people in that way. That is what Krishna calls it as the Anudvegakaram Vakyam. You will see another verse in the Bhagavad Gita somewhere. I think it is in the 18th chapter or something. About austerity of the world. If you look there, you will see. Yasmanu dvijade logo logano dvijade chaya. Harsham amarsham bhaya udvegair muktoya sachame priya. Look at this verse, Anudvegakaram Vakyam. I think it is in the 18th chapter somewhere. Yeah, 17th chapter. 17:15. If you look, there you will see there. If you look in the 17th chapter, 15th verse. Yes. Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. Krishna says, is it not? Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially and in avoiding speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. So, there you can see Anudvegam. Anudvegam means not agitating. You are not agitating somebody. Karam Vakyam. Such words when that is spoken. It is from that here Krishna is saying this. Yasmano dvijade logo logano dvijade chaya harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam. That udvegam is that. Harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam muktoya sachame priya. So, here, Anudvegakaram Vakyam. So, in other words, when you hear the words from someone, if that's not creating any vegam or emotions or excitement inside, such a word to be spoken. Anudvegakaram Vakyam. Vegam means a drive or an urge inside. Urge means either in the form of lust, anger, desire or greed. Anything like that, or envy, or attachment, or or a urge to do something without creating any such thing, if one can communicate that such words is in a peaceful way, then it is anudvegakaram. That is the understanding. So from whom you do not get any excitement or emotions or any movement inside your mind or any fear that it doesn't create, his association or his presence, that means this, he is so conscious that that psychic atmosphere, in other words, psychic atmosphere, that is very pure. That association is very pure, very pure. So when we come to contact with someone, actually, when we are in contact with someone, it is not between with that intelligence we are actually contacting, relating with. On the other hand, not with the body, but inside, in a psychic level, we develop a relationship with people, isn't it? On a psychic level. So rather than seeing that form of that person, it is in a subtle level that relationship develops. In a subtle level, that relationship develops. And that is more powerful, not through the bodily level or in a personality level, in that sense, that it's more on a subtle level somewhere that it becomes much more powerful. So just like you can see, some sensitive people, they will always say, when somebody comes, they say, I cannot be peaceful in that person's. People say like this, isn't it? Here comes the trouble, we will say. In the office, they say like that. Here comes the trouble. Because he knows that when he comes, he's going to disturb your state of mind or peace of mind inside. Either he demands something, or he will speak something which may not be very pleasing, or he's out to create some trouble. So he says, here comes the trouble. So that's coming from there. Anudvegaram vakyam means in whose presence you don't feel any movement inside the mind. Udvegam is not there. Any vigaram or emotions doesn't happens inside. So very advanced souls, they can know this very easily. They will know that. Such people, when they see that. One sannyasi used to say, when some people comes, they say, here comes the darkness. He says, because they were like that. So they can see from outside your vasanas inside, what kind of vasanas inside you have, and how those vasanas are strongly making the movement inside, and also they can notice your false ego, how strong it is inside. And these things in everybody, their false ego and their vasanas, they are actually flying around us all the time. They say this aura and all that. You know, they have that, now they have developed some machine and they are agreeing with this. In some extent, they are saying that some kind of illumination around you, aura they call it, isn't it? And based on this bluish color, reddish color and yellowish color, like this, they got some thing and they have developed a machine for that somewhere in Kent. They got a device also that you can know a person's modes of nature apparently by using this particular thing, but modes of nature is always changing, so what's the point in measuring and looking at it? So so they can know their vasanas inside, and when we are relating with other people, they can see that this changing vasanas inside. First class devotee or a realized soul, yani pure devotee, all of them, they don't have a mind. They don't have a mind. So there is, because they had to have a mind, you will see in their case, there is nothing to come out from there. If you had association with any great people, great devotees or great jnanis, you will notice this very carefully, that in their presence, you will feel a shanti, peace inside. You naturally feel that. Nobody has to tell you that. You will experience yourself, because they don't create any anxiety in others. In their presence, you won't feel any anxiety inside, because there inside there is no mind. All these emotions we are emitting from inside the mind. Suppose we have a lot of excitement inside, emotions, or various qualities like anger or greed or lust or any other envy or various pride or things like that. As soon as you are present in somebody, close to someone, that person will detect that. Oh, he's very proud, we will say, like that about somebody, isn't it? Or you'll say he's like envious snake, he is a black snake or something like that. People make all these kinds of comments. How do they say that? Not, they have not done anything. Just by their very presence, they have sensed that. Because the psychic level, all these things are happening all the time. That's why when sometimes great jnanis, because there it is empty cylinder inside. There is no mind. There is no emotions. They don't create any anxiety to anybody. So, but when someone with the loads of strong vasanas comes in, he will immediately, they will sense that very well. And they will mention that also. That is why, when they are like that, for them, there won't be any psychic exchange. Psychic exchange. And there's no movement of there because there's no mind there inside. Mind has completely gone away. Mind has completely gone away. And therefore, there is no movement inside. They don't get excited. They don't get emotional. Or they don't get affected by the external influences. So, Yasmanno Dijade Logo Logano Uddijade. Because that person, Yasmanno Dijade Logo Logano Dijade Chaya. That he does not create any disturbance in the world, nor the world will not create any disturbance in him. This is the thing. He cannot create any disturbance in anybody. Yasmanno Dijade Logo. He will not create any disturbance in anyone. And Logano Dijade Chaya. Loga means the world. World will not cause any disturbance in him. Both ways. It is not possible. So that is the only way. In other words, he is an abode of peace. He is an abode of peace. That's the only way to know about a Mahatma. That is a way to know whether somebody is an advanced person or not. That's a way to know a person, to somebody is advanced or not. Yasmanno Dijade Logo Logano Dijade Chaya. Both. He will not cause any anxiety in this world to others, nor others cannot cause any anxiety in him. Either way, it does not happen. Harsham Amarsham Bhayam Udvegam Muktoya Sajame Priya. Krishna is saying there. That if you see the activities of a person, or if you watch the person how he speaks, or seeing his form, you won't be able to understand whether he is a realized soul or not. You cannot. By seeing the activities of a person, or the way he speaks, or how he externally appears in front of you. For example, many, many great personalities. Nisargadatta Maharaj, you will know that it is, he used to make bidis. He was realized personality. He used to make bidis. If you go and see him, you could have hours and hours of discussion about the soul with him. But in his work, he looked as though he did a job which was not even very highly recommended job, isn't it? That was his family profession. He did that. So from there you can see, from a job what he does, you can't judge a person. You can't do that. You see, people are misunderstanding here so many times that Krishna says, karmam, only if you take the ownership of the karmam, you are affected by the karmam. Yeah? When you identify that I am the doer and you are expecting the result. Now, we have developed some understanding like this, that somebody who is engaged, we say, in Brahminical activities, and he is taking money and living on that, and then he claims himself to be a Brahmana because he is dressed like a Brahmana, but activities are like that, and we are mistakenly taking that person is spiritually very advanced. We are misunderstanding like that. Because there is no quality in him. He has not understood anything, what Krishna is saying. Yasmanno Dijade Logo Logano Dijade Chaya. All his activities are not representing that dress what he is wearing, or the impression what he is creating in others. Inside is full of desires to make money or make wealth or whatever the plans he has got in his head. So, but then people are mistakenly think, oh, he is this, he is that. That is not how you understand a person who is spiritual or not. Spirituality depends on what Krishna is saying here, that in his presence, if you feel that peace inside, then you can say there is spirituality in that person. There is spirituality in that person. It's not trying to pull down anybody, but often we have this experience many times that some big, big sannyasis have come and in their presence many people felt very unsettled and felt a lot of anxiety in them. That's not a very good sign of a spiritual nature of a person. Yasmano dvijade logo. Only by sanityam presence you will know that if your mind is not moving, feeling that peace inside, you can take it that there is no influence from the other person. Otherwise, generally, everybody in this world, when they come into contact with each other, it does create a certain psychic movement inside. That is what Krishna calls is that first two lines. Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. Like, for example, you're working in an office. Suddenly, boss comes to your table. How would you think inside? What's he up to now? What does he want now me to do? Isn't it? That is, even before he says anything, just his appearance itself is enough for you to create that vibration inside. Is it not? So same thing in everything. Everywhere, wherever you go. A salesman comes to your door to sell something. What will you think? Oh, headache has come to bother me again. Don't want anything. But you have to get it off him somehow in a nice way to tell him to go. So very without even making any conversation, you can feel that psychic effect on you. But in a case of a person who has realized the truth, Krishna is saying, this situation won't happen. He will not create any kind of anxiety or any emotions in you. Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. That means he cannot create any emotion in anyone, nor anyone can create any emotion in him. Either way, there cannot be any psychic exchange between them. All what you will experience in their presence is shanti, peace. And when you experience that peace, you can see that what's happening there is that because he has no mind, he has no bad emotions and feelings in him, and he is experiencing that shanti comes to you. That's what happens. And this is the only way to know somebody is spiritual or not. Not by the dress. No, but not by the dress. If you start evaluating people, you will end up in somewhere, I don't know where. You may turn up to be a Bin Laden or something like that. So many things like that, isn't it? The dress cannot give you that that subtle level what happens at that time, that is more important. So, here, Krishna is saying, Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. There is total peace inside that person. And that is the only way to know a Mahatma, a great personality. Otherwise, you cannot know anything. That experience of shanti inside in his presence, what you experience, our mind becomes peaceful. Our mind becomes subdued. It surrenders. Our mind becomes surrender. That is what happens with the mind. And inside, you feel that coolness or peacefulness inside. Udvegam, no udvegam inside, in other words. Yasmano dvijade logo. Because he will not create any udvegam. Udvegam means this vegam or this urge or this this excitement in anyone. Excitement in anyone. So, Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. What are the emotions? Harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. Four things he says. Harsham, arsha, bhayo, dyogeya, muktoya, sajame, priya. That vegam or this excitement or urge in him, it will not be created by him. So, he will not drive you in any way. In other words, by his association, you won't feel any drive in you inside. It won't drive you in any way. So, and on the other hand, suppose so many things are going on in this world, he won't get excited either about it. He won't get excited about it. Because Because nothing goes inside, nothing comes back from there. From the world, nothing goes inside. So therefore, nothing to come back from inside either. So that is the qualifications of a devotee. That he does not, anything what happens in this world would not disturb him inside. So many things will happen in this world. You have no control over it, isn't it? One thing or the, so many things are going on here. What control have we got on anything, any of those things? That's why, because he knows that it is nothing to, is not bothering him anymore. Because he is situated on the identity of the soul, platform of the soul. That's why it's not bothering him anymore. When you are on the platform of the body, all the anxieties builds up, isn't it? So, when the world will give you a lot of suggestions. There's no shortage of advice in this world, isn't it? The world is very good at it externally. And what we normally do, we surrender to all that instructions, isn't it, or advices. And it comes and goes. But what we do normally is we take everything inside and it disturbs our emotions or feelings inside us. So, Lokano Dvijade Chaya, he says here, whatever that happens in the world outside, na dvijade chaya, it does not cause any movement inside. Whatever happens, if you look into all great devotees, you will see this. Eknath Swami's story I have mentioned many times before. Eknath had to bathe in the Godavari River some 26 times. Because every time he comes out bathing, some people who are envious of him, envious means somebody wanted to insult him and offend him that way, they didn't like him. He went and bathed in Godavari River, and he was coming back, and they were spitting at him. He spat at him. He went back again into the river and bathed again, and came back, again spat at him. 23 times or something, they have spat like this on him, and ultimately, the person who spat, he felt inside his Antaryami would not allow him to do it again. And made him feel so guilty, because everybody has got Antaryami inside, isn't it? He made him to fall down at Eknath's feet. Eknath says there at that time, said, and not only that, he abused him as well by insulting words, various insulting words. So at that time, Eknath, when he came down to him and told Eknath that for all the offenses he has done, being so ignorant in the behavior, like Jagai and Madhai and so many others examples in the history, you will see this all the time. Then what he did was, Eknath Swami went inside and brought a pot of milk and gave it to him and says, you have spoken so much, I think you have blessed me actually by saying like that. Because Mahatmas, they look at that time to their own mind if there is any movement happening inside, and there was no movement. So many people who were surprised by Eknath's behavior, they asked him, how could you do this, such a thing? He said like this. Eknath's reply was very simple. He says, after all, when somebody says to you something abusive way or insulting way, you forget the whole language itself. You forget it. Because what gives value to words? You have put the meaning to some word in a particular way, isn't it? Any word for that matter in this world, we have given the meaning to it. Otherwise, how do you know? It's only just sound, isn't it? Just only sound. It doesn't mean anything else. It is simply sound. Where does the sound come from? Sound is coming from the heart. From the heart. It comes from the Pashama, Para Pashandi Madhyama Vaikari. It comes like that, isn't it? So, when it starts from the soul, remember this. If you remember, in the 11th canto, 12th chapter, when Uddhava asked a question, Krishna's reply was totally different. Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudi, that chapter, yeah? What did Krishna say? Krishna is saying there, when the sound originates from the soul, the origin of the sound is from the soul, that is when it's called para, then Pashyandi, Madhyama, and Vaikari when it comes out. it comes through the different chakras and then it comes out through the mouth as Vaikari. When it originates there from the para stage, it is Shabda Brahmam. It is from Nada Brahmam. It is sound of the Brahmam that is comes out from there. And when it starts moving up, it comes to the heart, Pashyandi, Madhyama, and then before it becomes Vaikari, I go back to the origin of the sound, Ekanath Swami says. I don't think the Vaikari what comes out. So fineness in their thinking. He says, I don't take the Vaikari seriously. I take a sound has come, and that should be the holy name, he says. That must have come from the very deep level. So in other words, Ekanath Swami wrote his famous commentary on the Ekadasha Skandam, which is well known. So there he mentions this, that when it started the origin, it was pure. Only when it became Vaikari, whatever meaning you are given, that you have given the meaning in the Vaikari stage. But when it started in its original form from the very bottom of the stage, para stage, it was pure. It was not. So I took it like that, he said. So if you can see the sound in that way, para pashyandi madhyama vaikari, in that way, then para stage, if you take, every sound is pure. Only by the time it becomes Vaikari, it gets completely polluted. And that words in the Vaikari is where we have given the meaning to that word. Yeah. Suppose you call some bad word or a good word about something. All that is in the Vaikari. It's not in the para. Para is pure sound that comes from the soul. It comes from the soul. So that was Ekanath Swami's reply. You see, because he studied Ekadasha Skandam so well, that and he has analyzed it so well, he was not disturbed about it. That is what Bhagavatam does to you. That when you study Ekadasha Skandam like that, and it becomes a part of your life, then this world cannot disturb us anymore. Whereas if you take all certificates and courses and hang up the certificate, it will remain as a certificate only. Nothing will change. That is not possible. That's not right also. This is what is expected, that great, great devotees are teaching us how Srimad Bhagavatam has changed their life. Because he had studied that 12th chapter of the 11th canto, he knew that science, where it is happening, where things are going wrong. When the sound its origin, it's not impure. It's pure sound. That is Nada Brahmam or Shabda Brahmam, they call it. Brahmam. Sound has got two aspects, isn't it? Or Brahmam has two aspects. Who says that? Bhagavatam says that. What is that? Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamo Bheshashwadi Tanu. When Chitraketu went to spiritual world, Balaram met him there. And Balaram is teaching him. Brahmam has got two aspects, he said. One is sound and one is the Shabda Brahmam and the other one is a Parabrahmam. Parabrahmam, which is the consciousness present in everyone. Shabda Brahmam is one aspect, Parabrahmam is the another aspect. So there itself, because he knows that Shabda Brahmam is aspect of Krishna, every sound is an aspect of Krishna. It's coming from the soul. And in the origin, that sound has no bad meaning, nothing. It is sound, pure sound, which comes from the soul. From Krishna, it comes from the soul. There it's not wrong. But by the time it comes through all our mind, all the vasanas, it picks up everything. What? And when it comes out through the mouth, outside, we have given it a meaning. If you say these letters, this is bad. If you say these letters, it's good. So who gave the meaning to it? We have given it. In its pure form, it doesn't mean anything. So Ekanath Swami is saying there, because of this deep understanding of Ekadasha Skandam, when all these things happened, he was not disturbed over it. When somebody was hurling abuse at you, that you are saying that, well, Krishna is saying like this and he is making some sound, whatever it may be, let it be. So that is why it's saying there, Esmano Dijade Logo, Logano Dijade Chaya. Logam cannot create any movement inside us. This is all for devotees, eh? Krishna is talking about devotees now. Yasmano dujade logo, logano dujade chaya. So, you will see this in the Bhagavatam. If you study Bhagavatam very well, this will sink inside. Bhikshu Gita, best example. What all they did, you know that story, don't you? Bhikshu Gita story, that very, we will discuss that when it comes to that chapter. But in a very nutshell, Avanti Brahmana. Brahmana by birth, but very fond of making money. Extremely busy in making money, amassed a lot of wealth. And very miser as well, won't give anything to anybody. So he was like that. And what did he do? One instance, everything went wrong in his life. The house got fire. Everything was burned down. The king at that time who ruled Avanti, he went against him and extracted more money from him in the form of tax, saying that, and also gave an injunction saying that he has not paid his taxes properly, and you know, like the Inland Revenue does, he has went after him to get everything, the king. And so from the king went against him, the house got fire, and when the house got fire, he had a lot of expensive goods in his house, so all the people came and looted everything. That's what happens, isn't it? If you set fire, you can see London riots also. When the riot started, everybody running around, breaking glasses, taking out whatever they can and running away from there. Isn't it? The right opportunity for doing that. So it has not changed. Them days also like that, now also it's like that. All these things has not changed in this world. We say everything has changed. Nothing has changed. It's the same thing. So in his case also, this Brahmana's everything he lost. He lost his property gone, burned down. The king went against him. And all the people completely took advantage of that and took away all his assets. Eventually, he leaves home. While leaving home, he has got with him one torn, burned blanket with him. Part of it is burned. It's torn also. And then one bamboo rod to hold on. And he walks away from there, from home. And he asked people for food. Nobody will give him. Because he has not given anything to anybody. That is his track record. Nobody wants to give him anything. Because he hasn't given anything to anybody. So everybody said, you deserve it. So this is what the reaction from the villagers. So he thought, it's no point in staying in this village anymore. Better I go somewhere else where people don't know me. So he managed to get out from there and walked and walked and went away from there to another far away, to another village. And there he went and asked some people for food, and somebody gave him some food. When he got the food, he decided to wash his feet and hands, everything, and to sit down and to eat the food. So on a riverbank in Avanti, he kept the food on the riverbank in his pot, which he had with him to beg for the food. And then he went into the river to wash his hands. At that time, there were a few cowherd boys who were playing there. They saw this person and they wanted to have some fun at his cost. So what they did was, one of them came and took away his blanket. Another one came and took his water pot. A third one took away his this bamboo rod, which was his walking stick, what he was using. Three, four of them came and took one of his items. And some of them put some dust into his food. Just the way it is his prarabdham. You see how he could see that. When prarabdham is like that, you can't do anything about it. So he, after all this happened, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, one thing I have noticed, obviously Krishna has witnessed this. It must have happened during his education period in Avanti. I can only imagine that. That's where he noticed this. He says that Brahmana, even though all these things happened from outside, never got upset. Instead, he sang a song, he says. Now, if you are very upset, you can't sing a song, can you? That means that he is saying to himself, Nayam janome sugadukha hetu, that these people are not responsible for my situation. My happiness and distress is not coming from them. Na deva dalma graha karma kala. Not any other demigods are responsible. Not my planet's position, astrologically wrong position or anything. That's what's coming. Nor my karma activities are responsible for this or the time. Manaparam karanam amanandi. My mind is responsible for this. Saying this, we'll see in the Bhagavadam what is well known as Bhikshugita he sung. He sung what is known as Bhikshugita. Krishna says there at the end of that, Uddhava, a person who has come to that stage, He is already released from this body and the mind. He doesn't need to need any more else after that. So, so in other words, nobody can give us happiness or distress. Nobody is responsible for my happiness or distress, and neither the planets nor the time, but prarabdha karma, nothing is actually responsible, but mind is responsible. In other words, mind is responsible. This prarabdham also, we have to know it, how that affects us. If you give value to it, prarabdham will bring problems. It depends inside how much realization you have to free yourself from the prarabdham. So, once you have freed yourself from the mind, then prarabdham cannot do anything. Then whatever prarabdham does will be only in the body and the mind, not in you, the person, because he has freed himself. So, such people who have released themselves from the grip of the mind, nothing can bind them. Nothing can bind them. And from them, there is no disturbance in this world. Such people, from them, there is no disturbances in this world. So, because they are not in this world for competing with anybody. Normally, everybody is competing here, isn't it? Or I have to show that I am better than you. Yes, you are better than me. This way, competition is going on. But that competition has gone away from him. And only then, Krishna is the sense there, sannyasi becomes. He becomes a sannyasi. That's why I mentioned here, if you remember, in the Bhagavatam beginning, Nirmal Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tapatrayo Enmulanam. That Nirmal Saranam, that word, is referring to this state. Nirmal Saranam Satam. So, their attitude is, you want to stay in the front, you stay in the front, I'll stay at the back. Not in the front. So, only if you say that you need something, only then the problem comes, isn't it? Otherwise, there is no problem. That is why. That to such an extent, they have that control over the mind. So, one sannyasi went out to looking for bhiksha. Bhiksha means to asking for food. He went outside. And two people are fighting in two houses. They were fighting each other because somebody has extended his fence to the other's property or this way, which normally happens in all the villages, isn't it? So he comes back. In the cities also it happens. Nowadays everywhere it is there. Then they have the problem of panorama bringing a problem about what happened and all sorts of things. So he says here, there's an argument between two people about the fence, where they have put the fence on, that you have taken my property, or the other person was saying you have taken mine. So he comes back, this sannyasi, and he asks his senior sannyasi in the ashram, why are they fighting like this? And I thought that sannyasi was saying that he has been telling him that sannyasi will never compete each other. Nowadays sannyasi is also competing everywhere. So, that's why I say, is that why is the sannyasis are competing like this, he said. So, that sannyasi explained to him, this argument quarrels happening because there is mamada. Mamada means attachment. Attachment is there. Sannyasi is one who doesn't have any attachment or any competition nature. He doesn't compete with anybody. Sannyasi is not supposed to compete with anybody, nor he has any attachment anywhere, isn't it? So, if you look at it that way, spiritual life is very simple. If you have these things on board, their spiritual life is very simple. And no competition. And adhyalpam or spiritual life is very easy. But nowadays when you look at adhyalpam, it's frightening actually. The situation is so frightening. Because we start thinking that I have to become something in life. In spiritual life, I have to become something. I have to build so many things in this world, palaces and ashrams and temples and so many other things. I have to build all that. And when you see the anxiety it creates in people's life when it comes like that, you can also notice one thing. It is better that I sit down without doing all these things. And there is nothing to become in spiritual life. There's nothing to become spiritual life. All what is required is whatever you have become now, you have to get rid of that. That is what spiritual life is about. Spiritual life is not something you become, but to get rid of what you have already got. That is what it is. So, nothing to be acquired, nothing to be achieved in this life, attained or anything, and nothing to be done here. Vedirega sadhana. This is called Vedirega sadhana. Vedirega sadhana means whatever desire that has come now, that you have to become something, if you leave that, that is enough. If you leave that, that's enough. So, if you want to become a big person in this world, and if you move away from that idea, and if you stay free from that, that is sufficient. And more great personalities, sometimes their secret is this, that they withdraw away from all kinds of recognition in this world, worship in this world, and move away from that society which wants all this. That is the symptom of that great personalities. Yasmano dvijade logo, lokano dvijade chaya. If you allow the world to get in, what happens is you want recognition. If you don't allow the world to get in, you don't want any recognition in this world. Is it not? Because the world has got inside, that's what is where this is coming from. You want followers, you want big palaces and ashrams, and you want money, you want so many things like that, because the world has got inside and giving you the problem. So, Mahatmas, their secret is this, that so sometimes you can see this also, that especially in that modern world where the media is very, very strong and powerful, isn't it? So they will go to some great Mahatmas and they will spend some time there, and when they come back, they will write a book. Immediately they'll publish a book about this Mahatma, what he has experienced about it. So once it so happened, a big Mahatma, this happened to him. Somebody came and stayed with him for some time. And after a few days, he left. Then the next thing he did was, he created what is known as a biography, isn't it? You write a biography of this because he has spent some time with him. He felt the necessity to write a biography of this sage and publish it. So when the biography was published, all others who were coming to the same ashram to see him, they read that, they happened to read it. And they started thinking, these things we never knew about, all these things. How did he get to know about it? We have been in that ashram for months and years. We didn't know anything that our guru or Maharaj or teacher was like this. But he has acquired so much information about him, and he has published all these things, he said. So one of them, this will always happen in this world. You can take it for 100% sure. This has happened many times. I'll give you an example also. So one of them went back to this the guru and says to him, look, the person who was staying with you, he has published this book about you, and there are so many things we didn't know about you, he said, about him. He says that, let him make some money. Let him sell it and make some money. He has done it only for that purpose, he said. It's not for anything else. That was his. He didn't even read it. He said, I don't need to read it. I know what has happened in my life. He said, if he writes something about me, what can I do? That let him make a living out of it. He has come only for that purpose. For me, I don't need to do anything from this. So there, in his mind, the sannyasi's mind, there is no desire to propagate himself or to make any create any impression in this world. He's not looking for that. So he says, I'm not concerned about it, what he is writing about it. That's what it says here. Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. Logam or world will act in a particular way, but you should not worry about it. For example, like even Prabhupada's case also, a kind of so to say that people who followed for quite a while, they started saying things, and so many things they spoke. And one day Prabhupada said, I never said all these things, he said. Where is this coming from? He says, everybody was saying, Prabhupada said, I never said any of these things, he said. So you can't avoid this in this world. It will always happen. People will talk about spiritual personalities like great people, people will come, they will stay, and then they will write books and they will present their own version of the things, and you can't do anything about it. But such people who are writing that, they are actually creating some difficulty in others' mind, because those who have read that, they will be affected by that. And if it is not a fact, or if it is something that their own mind, they have built up something and they wrote something, and later on if he comes to know that it hasn't happened, somebody else has given some understanding, then it all causes confusion in their mind. That's why world will create problem for you in that way. Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. We should not create any feelings in others' life, vegam or udvegam, or anxiety or any kind of excitement, emotions in others' heart, nor the world should not be able to create anything within us. This is the state of a devotee, Krishna is saying there. Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. Then Krishna says, such a person, if he gets something, he is not going to get very excited about it. And at the same time, if he didn't get anything, he doesn't get angry with anybody about that. Some people, when they don't get it, what they want, they get very upset about it, isn't it? Sometimes you can see, oh, they didn't recognize me. They didn't recognize me. So that is, I didn't get the award. Or I didn't get the thing. So intelligence of the management is not to create that situation. Nowadays it seems that in spiritual life you have to give so many awards and certificates and recognitions. Otherwise it seems that spiritual life becomes very dull. But they are not spiritual. Their materialistic mind is working behind it. Because you are actually creating so much anxiety and feelings in others' mind, those who are doing that. That they don't know, that because they don't read Bhagavad Gita, that's why. They don't read Bhagavad Gita. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you know that these things are not good, not the right thing to do. If you create unnecessarily excitement, emotions, feelings in others' heart, it is not a devotee. Devotees don't do such things. Devotee is always peaceful within himself. He doesn't have to, because Krishna is doing so many things with so many people in this world. Why do we have to give all this recognition to people for what they have done? He is executing, he is trying to please Krishna in his own way. Somebody else is trying to please Krishna in another way. Whatever, where is the question of recognition there? All these recognition business, awards and merits and all sorts of things are going on now, isn't it? You can see in everywhere this is fought, particularly in our favorable organization, this is more than anywhere else. That's what I have seen. Nowhere else they do to this extent, like the way we do. Why? Because this is what we know. We don't understand this, that Esmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. And harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. Krishna says, all these four, devotee won't have that. Devotee can't have that, he says. Because if we allow all these things to happen, the mind will start moving. You are again making the mind to come back into movement, which means that you will fall from your spiritual realized state. You will come back to you're falling down again from there. That is why Ekadasha Skandham, if you look, everything Krishna says, leave the world, leave the world, leave the world. We say, bring the world, bring the world, bring the world as much as possible inside. That's the opposite way. Kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastu yakina vachoditam tananrudam manaso dhyadam eva va. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Whatever you are speaking with your words, whatever you are concocting with your mind, it's all lie, Krishna says. And after reading all that thing, if you go and do such things, what more can you say? What is this recognition award and all that? All nonsense. It's nothing to do with spirituality. It's completely materialistic thinking behind it. So many nonsense in this way. And people are happy to follow. Oh, I got this award now. I got this thing. Spiritual life is free from award. The only person who can give you award is Krishna. Nobody else. If Krishna gives you the award, you can take it seriously. Otherwise, all other awards are all useless. There's no meaning at all. So, because we are not spiritual, we are very materialistic people. We value all these things. Krishna is saying, Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya. As much as you don't create any waves in others' life, let the world not create any waves within you. This is the principle. യസ്മാനോ ദ്വിജതേ ലോകോ ലോകാനോ ദ്വിജതേ ചയ. വാട്ട് എൽസ്? ഹർഷം, അമർഷം, ഭയം, ഉദ്വേഗം. ഫോർ തിങ്സ്. ഹർഷം മീൻസ് ഫീലിംഗ് എക്സൈറ്റഡ്, ഹാപ്പി അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്. I have done this, I have done that. Amarsham, angry if I didn't get anything. Then fear, what's going to happen about it? Udvegam, always creating different urges, or vegam inside. All these things are, Krishna says, is not for a devotee. Devotee cannot have any of these things, because that is the symptom of spiritual life. Spiritual life is withdrawing from the world, not getting involved in the world and making the, trying to repair this world. It's no point in repairing this world. This world you can never repair. It will go its own way. More you can see all the big politicians, leaders, they are all trying to fix this world, are they not? They all join each other and they go to this country, that country, and tell them, you do like this, it will be somebody else saying, no. And they had themselves broken up in the name of countries, nations, and different groups they have formed themselves. And they're all trying to repair this world. But day by day, it's getting worse. It's never getting better. And it's always been like that. It's never better. So don't try to repair the world. Repair yourself and escape from here. That is what Krishna is telling us. Then repair ourselves. Because whole problem is not in the world. It's within us. And therefore we feel the necessity to fix that world very badly. We feel the necessity to fix the world. So here, he says here that recognition is important for them. If you don't get the recognition, then they feel very upset about it, isn't it? I didn't get my award or recognition. And he says, harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. All of these things, harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam, and yasmano dvijate loko, lokano dvijate chaya, all of them is symptoms of ajnanam or avidya in a person. That is why Krishna is saying this. Yasmano dvijate loko, lokano dvijate chaya, harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. All of them are symptoms of the ajnanam or avidya or ignorance in a person. That's how Krishna calls them. It is because of that Krishna is specifically saying here, a devotee cannot have them. If these things are there in him, he is not a devotee. He's not a devotee. Devotee won't have them. And Krishna is saying that you can remember the bhakti, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita is para bhakti. After self-realization. Brahma bhuda prasannatma na shochati na kamchati samas sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. That para bhakti is what is spoken, and that is what Krishna is discussing here. That in that state, Brahma bhuda realization has come to him, and then when he is experiencing that bhakti, this will be the situation with that person. All of them, Krishna says here, if all of them leaves him, then he is very, very dear to me, Krishna says. If that stage has happened, then he is very dear to me. Normally, we don't give any importance to any of these things, isn't it? We don't take any of these things seriously. That all remain in the book. We go on doing what we like. And he says, I've done so much, I've done so much, I've done so much. We keep declaring to the world what we have done. Krishna is asking, what have you done for yourself? You've done for me a lot, fine, thanks. But what have you done for yourself? About yourself, you haven't done anything. That time, it's a big circle. Nothing we have done about ourselves. Bhagavad Gita is saying, especially this Bhakti Yogam chapter, if you do not follow in this way, if you just say, oh, Bhakti Yogam is only telling us one thing, that I have to preach all over the world, I have to do so many disciples, I have to build so many temples, I have to make so many ashrams. If this is what Bhakti Yogam is all about, then probably big wealthy people could have done that. Is it not? But Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita is addressing to an individual, not to a society, not to a community, not to any organization. It is addressed to you and to me, directly addressing us. Individual is more important in spiritual life, not the society or community. That is Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy, individual is important, society is not important. For everybody else, society is important, individual is not important. That is the way it is. All the great personalities who followed the Vedic tradition, they stand by this. Because as far as they are concerned, If one person attains perfection in spiritual life, the whole world can has its effect, benefit from him. Whereas if you try to elevate the whole world together, it won't go. It cannot. It is not possible. That is what is the next verse. Anapekshaso jir daksha. That is verse 16,
Udasino gadavyatha
sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priya anapekshaso jir daksha. Udasino gadavyatham sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priya anapeksha shuchir daksha udasino gadavyathah sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priya. Translation: a devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without care, free from all pains, and who does not strive for some result, is very dear to me. Krishna is saying that a devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without care, free from all pains, and who does not strive for some result, is very dear to me. Krishna says, isn't it? So, you can see in the purport, money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If it automatically by the grace of the Supreme money comes to him, he is not agitated. So you can see that anapeksha shujir daksha udasino gadavyatha sarva arambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priya. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.